Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk, and we are that talk show that is made for men, by men. And it's the show that not even ladies want to miss, because we discuss some of the most politically incorrect topics. We discuss life, love, relationships, and we always do it from a man's perspective. It's a place where men have a space to speak openly and honestly about what's on their mind, and they get to speak that in the way men do that, without being judged and assessed and told that they're being toxic because they are on the aggressive side or passionate about what they're thinking. So this is the show where men get to speak about the way they think, the way they feel, and they do it as men. And what makes it enticing for women is because it's a place where you get to hear things that you normally don't hear men say. So I invite the ladies to join us. And today, it's a topic that's popular in the news, but I'm willing to bet I'm going to take a perspective that you generally do not hear. PJ, good to see you in the house. Absolutely, no question. And before we get started, let's just get a little bit of a caveman beat. What's going on, Nanny Peary? Good to see you in the house. Yeah, I really want to get your feedback on this. But let's get a little beat going here. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. We are that talk show that is made for men by men. In 1 second. Okay. Let's get a little bit of light. Let there be light. And tonight, well, we're going to discuss something that is in the news and pretty hot, not very popular, except I think we need to discuss it. And I'm going to relate something in the news to men's health. And I just wonder if men's health is something that is just overlooked. I mean, as men, we don't always like going to the doctor. And that's just for a physical checkup. So when it comes for a mental checkup, there's probably even more resistance. And I'm going to go through, you guys know I love doing screen shares and sharing statistics and studies. And I'm going to share some studies that highlight why men's mental health may be more important than most of us realize. You guys hear me talk about conflict resolution, and I'll talk about it from another perspective. And Zach Stacy is a really unfortunate example of why men's health really needs to be discussed. It really needs to be celebrated as something that's just as important as your diet and physical exercise. I mean, we all understand the need for physical exercise, right? You know, there are men out there who have put in the time. They work, and, you know, they gain weight. They've got diabetes, high blood pressure, hypertension. They have all this. And the doctor says, hey, if you don't lose weight, if you don't change your diet, you're never going to see your grandchildren, and that person does something about it. But we're going to look at how does the mind, the mental health factor into all that, and is it really being neglected? I'm going to take calls. I see quite a few calls already coming in. If you'd like to call in and join this discussion, you know I like to do this sort of like a roundtable discussion. The phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. Now, that's the call in through Blog Talk. I will drop the link because I think this is going to be a really hot topic. And I'm going to present this in a way that perhaps some people may not be so happy. But just stay with me. I'm going to put a puzzle together so that we can better understand. We're going to look at the Zach Stacy situation from more than one perspective. The obvious one is kind of there in the video. Unfortunately, you don't see the entire video, so we don't really understand what led up to that. Before I give you some of my thoughts on this topic in general, Nanny Peary, thank you for the super sticker. Always appreciate your support. We love having you from way across the other side of the world. I think you guys are 15 hours ahead of us, so it's already Monday for you. So thanks for joining in on this conversation. And PJ, yes, I do wonder, you know, what was the caveman dance? Yes, that is a good question. And PJ, I know you also asked me, we were doing, we had a gentleman from across the pond. I asked him to do a New York accent. He didn't do so well. He sounded more Southern. And you asked if I would do a British accent, not so good. So, good day, sir. Cheerio, chap. I don't have much of a British accent, so sorry if I failed. And definitely, well, I guess similar to Australia, down under. So we're going to talk about mental health for men. We're always talking about mental health for women. We always know it's important. Women even get to come together with other women. They have lunch, dinner, girl talk, girls night out, and they really get to express lots of things. And they have their way of interacting, and some of it may not look as orderly to men as it does to women. And men, when we get together, you know, a lot of times if you want to talk to your buddy, a lot of times you hear things like, hey, you're a real man. Real men, suck it up. You know how women are if you want to talk about some of the things happening. And unfortunately, it's over 70%, I think 77% of suicides are committed by men. Even though women attempt suicide more than men, that's a woman's way of calling for help. But men seem to be very successful. When they're ready to clock out, they make it happen. There's no gray area for men. I had some thoughts about this conversation. Is it important for men to have mental health support? I had another topic. Is mental health for men an important matter? Or are we as a society addressing men's mental health properly? So some of my thoughts go like this. Abuse in any relationship is unacceptable. According to NIH and Harvard University Medical School, women initiate 70% of domestic violence. However, when you watch any media outlet, it would seem men are the perpetrators of violence and women are innocent victims. Has society looked at the impact on men's mental health with so much violence being initiated by women, right? So are we looking at it with the understanding that women are initiating so much violence? What's the impact of that, especially in a society that says, hey, you're a man, you're bigger, you're stronger, you shouldn't retaliate, you suck it up, that's what men do. So but what's the impact on men? In the wake of Zach Stacy video, it appears this may have been a case where she may have been an innocent victim. At the same time, for some reason, the full video has not been released. We have no idea what could have driven him to such rage. And if you have seen the video, the rage was there. I'm going to show a news clip where they show a little more than what I had seen originally. The woman who was the receiver of Zach's rage says he may be suffering from PTSD. The claim is football causes this in men and changes their behavior. Is it possible? Sure. If it did happen, the men most affected would be the biggest men, like the linemen. Those guys get beat up. I mean, they don't have – their career is not as long as a running back or a quarterback. They receive the most collisions during games, or running backs like Earl Campbell would have been one of the most severe cases of PTSD because he was run to death and he was a human tank. Lots of head-on collisions from Earl Campbell. Nevertheless, Zach has been arrested. Is this a good time for men to take a step back and look at their mental health? One, with so much violence being initiated by women, men need a space to discuss the impact on them. Otherwise, they explode and there's nothing a woman can do, as you're going to see in the video if you haven't seen it already. Number two, when men do want to have open conversations about what they are feeling, men and women tell men to suck it up. Men are told it is part of manhood to deal with their feelings in silence. Is this tactic healthy? And is the neglect on the part of men also, is that really male toxic masculinity where we don't address these things? So I want to get into this. But I just want to show a couple of things just so anyone wants to question, how did I come up with this 70% of domestic violence initiated by women? I get a lot of people, especially women, upset with me and saying, where are you getting this? You're just making this up. You're pulling these numbers out of you know what. There was a Harvard Medical School article. If you didn't have a subscription to Harvard Business Review, you were not able to open it. But in my past videos, I've shared that. And now they shut that article down. It's no longer there. So I'm going to do a screen share, and I'm going to show you an article from National Institute of Health, NIH. I'd say it's a very credible organization. This article is the differences in frequency of violence and reported injury between relationships with reciprocal and non-reciprocal intimate partner violence. They use an acronym of IPV for intimate partner violence. And I'll drop the link if you guys want to read it. I'm not going to read very much. The objectives was we sought to examine the prevalence of reciprocal, i.e. perpetuated by both partners, and non-reciprocal intimate partner violence, and to determine whether reciprocity is related to violence. And they talk about the methods. So that number, give me 1 second. Just almost 24% of all relationships had some violence, and half, 49.7% of those were reciprocally violent. In non-reciprocally violent relationships, women were the, you have to listen to this. In non-reciprocally violent relationships, women were the perpetrators in more than 70% of the cases. So almost 24% of all relationships had some violence, and half were reciprocally violent. In non-reciprocally violent relationships, women were perpetrators in more than 70%. Reciprocity was associated with more frequent violence among women. So as a society, we really do look at men as being monsters, you know, and I'm with Jordan Peterson. If you're a man, be a monster. And then he says, learn to contain it. Well, we don't ask women to contain. We tell them that they should be able to do anything, no boundaries. Men should be able to take it, suck it up. You're a man, you're tough, you're bigger, you're stronger. And this is the outcome, where we get women who initiate a lot more violence. So for all the people who think I'm just making these numbers up, and I hate women, and whatever else that you want to say, that's fine. But NIH is a rather reputable organization. I also wanted to look at emotional abuse in intimate relationships, the role of gender and age. And it talked about how younger men receive more emotional abuse than older guys. And this is also from NIH. It's a separate study. It's a very, as you can see, the titles are very different. So, I'll drop the link for this. I won't read it all. But gender and violence. Feminist perspectives have traditionally viewed relationship violence as an expression of patriarchal oppression against women that is socially sanctioned. According to Johnson, 1995, there are two main forms of violence. Some relationships suffer from conflict-related outbursts of violence, situational or common couple violence. In this form, either partner may lose control and act violently, but this rarely escalates into more injurious or life-threatening behaviors. Alternatively, some relationships suffer from systematic male violence, which is rooted in patriarchal tradition of men controlling their women. This form of violence is rarer, but frequently devastating and often involves economic subordination, threats, isolation, and other control tactics. It is referred to as intimate terrorism or patriarchal terrorism. And it says over time it intensifies. However, the relationship of gender of intimate partner violence is not an unambiguous unilateral as was once assumed, i.e. violence is only committed against women by male perpetrators. Recent research suggests some women actively perpetrate violence against their partners, and debates over the gender symmetry of IPV, intimate partner violence, have generated sizable controversy. They did a mega analytic review, found women were slightly more likely to use physical aggression in a relationship. However, men were more likely to inflict an injury. I mean, that's not a surprise, but the study found women were slightly more likely to use physical aggression in a relationship. So she started a fight and she was injured because the man was stronger and able to win, to beat her. The majority of the studies included were conducted in the U.S. in the late 20th century, and roughly half of the sample were students, thus limiting generalizability, and also concluded that measures based on acts of violence versus consequences of violence. Let's see. When measures were based on specific acts, more women than men used physical aggression. When measures were based on consequences of aggression, men were more likely than women to injure their partners. It is also vital to consider the sample. Let's see. There's a section in here. According to the study, I think this is. According to a study by Coker in 2002, 29% of women and 23% of men experienced physical, sexual, or psychological IPV during their lifetime. Psychological abuse was measured by two subscales, verbal abuse and abuse of power and control, created from power and control scale. Women were significantly more likely to experience physical or sexual IPV and abuse of power and control alone. The prevalence of physical IPV alone was 13% for women and 5% for men, while sexual was 4.3 for women and 0.2 for men. Women were less likely to report verbal abuse alone, and the prevalence of psychological IPV alone was 12.3. The psychological abuse was reported by women was 12.1% for women and 17.3% for men. So what this study is also showing, and here we go, is that women are psychologically more abusive than men, partially as a result of difficulties in measurement. Let's see, a recent meta-analytical review examined three aspects: emotional abuse, sexual coercion, stalking, obsessive behavior. For emotional abuse, prevalence rates were high, averaging around 80 to 40% of women and 32% of men reported expressive aggression, and 41% of women and 43% of men coercive control. So 40% of women reported expressive aggression, like men being, you know, verbally aggressive, and only 32% of men. But when they use coercion, control, 41% of women, 43% of men. And down here, psychological aggression by an intimate partner was reported at 48.4% of women reported and 48.8%. Like they're basically identical. So there are a lot more women using psychological abuse on men. As men, we just don't report it. So what's the impact of that, of men experiencing so much psychological abuse and sucking it up and saying nothing? So I want to show this video, and then I'm going to take some calls. If you guys haven't seen this video of Zach Stacy, this has been the catalyst for this conversation today. It's rather short. It's a news report. It's the longest version I've seen. And
his ex-girlfriend shared this graphic video behind. Welcome, everyone. I'm Ray Vieta. A manhunt is underway for a former NFL player after his ex-girlfriend shared this graphic video behind me. Kristen Evans is speaking exclusively with Fox 35. She wants you to see this attack. Her hope is that it will prevent future attacks. Fox 35's Dave Puglisi caught up with her just before she went into hiding. Evans says that she's nervous and scared. She's packing up her things in order to get to a safe place. She's afraid that Stacy may be coming back to Orlando.
This is just the last straw, I would say. I really, truly feel that if it continues, he will kill me.
Kristen Evans opening up about the violent encounter she had with her ex-boyfriend, former NFL running back Zach Stacy.
No, I do not. Please. Well, every time a car has passed by, I am resisting the urge to look to see who it is. I started crying when you walked up because I'm scared, you know?
The incident happened Saturday afternoon. All of it captured on Evans' home surveillance cameras.
I'm also afraid that he's going to get away with this, that he's going to run, and I don't know where he is or that he might retaliate.
Evans began an on-again, off-again relationship with Stacy in August of 2019. In recent months, she says Stacy has gotten more and more physical with her. She says Stacy was supposed to turn himself in after police issued a warrant for his arrest, but he has not.
He just feels justified in his actions. So there's nothing that anyone could do to justify something like that.
Evan says that she's filed reports against Stacy in the past. She felt like she had to come forward with this one in order to make sure that it wouldn't get overlooked again. In Oakland, basically, see Fox 35 News.
Hard video to watch there. This whole incident allegedly took...
Since that happened, he turned himself in there. They arrested him at the airport. And I actually listened to the hearing. There have been police that showed up for domestic violence, but based on the hearings I saw, there were never any reports filed for domestic violence. So there have never been any charges against him for this. So I'm going to start taking some calls. Let's see. The first one I'm going to take is area code 870. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
What's up, T? It's your boy, Country Boy. What's happening?
Hey, how you feeling, man? Good, good. I don't know if you were on YouTube and you were able to see that video. Where
yes,
are you?
Yes, sir. I saw that. You can't miss that. Yes, sir. I'm having difficulties out here with my Wi-Fi because, you know, it's trying to storm out here in the countryside. So,
okay.
But I did see him bits and pieces of that big old dude done got that girl rolling all out across that room and then when he slapped her across there. And say, and I'm glad you, I'm saying thank you, Jesus, for this right here. Some of these women, I ain't gonna say all of them, but that side of a man that they trying to cohort out of that man. But the deadly side of that tent is once they put these men in a position where he retaliate and actually start fighting back, it could turn deadly, man. And like Red Pill Rican said, women don't know how dangerous these men can be.
Hey, you know what? I want to show, he actually posted something. I'm going to do a screen share for that. So I just read a study from NIH that talked about psychological abuse, and it happens more than we realize from women to men. So I'm doing a screen share, and this is a post that someone put up, a woman, and it says, humiliating men and getting their money is the best thing ever created for women. You know, when we talk about psychological abuse and women sort of parading and being proud of that, look, I'm not condoning Zach's behavior. I'm not saying that that was the right thing for him to do. I'm only warning that we don't know the full story. We don't know the full story. And there are so many things that happen in relationships that are unhealthy.
Yes, they do.
Those things are unhealthy, and when if men continue to bottle them up and not talk to anyone about it and learn how to better manage themselves, they find themselves arrested and in jail. Their lives are ruined. And if you look at the video, even though physically he is throwing her around, he's hit her, but technically, if you look at it from another perspective, she's running the show. She has him so angry that this man cannot even control himself. This is part of why I want to talk about mental health. When men allow themselves to lose it, even though they may be physically stronger and beating a woman, they may even kill her, but that man is not running his life. And right now, the proof is, Zach gets locked up. His bond was predicated on him turning over his passport to the court so he wouldn't run. But so now he's not in control of his life because he lost control.
But see, that's what I'm saying, Ted. And you hear him out here parading, talking about you ain't no real man. If she don't slap you on the butt and all that old crazy stuff, and God forbid you become a weak man in the bedroom, that sure enough turn them all in. But once these type of dude, once you get a man psychologically abused to the point the way he actually put his hands on you, that's where we got a problem, Ted. These dudes a lot, and think about it like this, Ted. Think about how many serial killers out here still walking the street now that the feds ain't never caught yet.
Yeah,
because some might have been psychologically abused.
Right. And you know, a lot of this, more than we realize, can come from mothers psychologically abusing their sons, emotionally abusing them. Hold on.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good evening. How's it going?
Oh, crap. So you recognize me, huh?
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
That's the Montana accent, huh?
Yeah, very Montana, from London, Montana. Yeah. So, you know,
we have Reggie on the line, too, and Reggie is in perfect silence. I can only say thank you for that, Reg. But Joe, what are your thoughts on this topic, men's mental health? I showed a video of this Zach Stacy, the ex-NFL player, throwing his woman around. You know, I also read some studies from National Institute of Health.
Yeah, I listened to it, yeah.
And so, we don't know the full story on this guy, but, you know, clearly the video doesn't look good.
Right. Well, years ago, before I start into that, I want to talk about what I did years ago with the forum, and it was about a bunch of women who were complaining about domestic violence and why men hit women, and men shouldn't hit women because they're stronger. But before I go into that, Kendrick, did you see the picture that's on Ted's description page?
No, I didn't see that because, you know, my internet popping in and out of here. It's trying to storm out here.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking, as soon as I saw it, I was thinking of you. Because it's about a guy who was slapped so hard by this chick is that he just about falls backwards. And I knew that if you saw it, or if Ted was going to bring up the stats about domestic violence and about how it's initiated by women, you would probably get a little upset. So I wanted to find out if you had if you had seen it, because I know you would have gone off on it.
Well, Mr. Joe, I can say this much in my own defense. Now, you know, I've been in no type of situation before, Mr. Joe, long before my therapy. So you just put it like this. I don't know nothing about this NFL dude that Ted talking about, but I can speak on my own behalf. I done been in situations, Mr. Joe, that if I could have put my hands on these women, man, I would have been incarcerated a long time ago. But they taught me how to keep my anger on the suggestion. Because my parents knew it didn't take much for a man to really get to a point where he done nearby killed the female. You can slap her so hard,
I know.
You can do some damage, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to have some help.
Well, I hear you. And going back to that experience of mine where I went into a forum and I had written an essay, and it was about why do men hit women? And I wanted to contradict these particular, of course, it's not a fad, it's a trend, it's not even a trend, it's a mindset of women about men just wake up one day and just start hitting women. And I was relating to these chicks who are, of course, just being victims galore, they loved it. And I said, men don't just wake and say, you know what, this girl gave me great sex, she cooked me the best meal, she's pretty, she's my support system. So what I'll do today, I think I'll beat her. No, that's not what men do. First off, men do suck it up way too much. And I gave examples like women nagging men all the time. Women, for example, saying, oh, what would you like for dinner, dear? And the guy says, I'd like to have steak. And the girl serves up ham, and she does that for about the third time in about 4 months. Or women dismissing men's statements as being irrelevant. Women starting arguments and then walking away from them. There are about 16 different circumstances that women do to men on a regular basis that men suck it up and then finally explode. So it's not a question of men just all of a sudden just waking up and saying, I'm going to beat this chick. Men try to have conflict resolution skills. Very often they don't succeed because the woman just doesn't go along with it, or the man is very poor at the resolution of the conflict, and it continues to fester within him until he gets to the point where he says, shut up, shut up, shut up. And she very calmly, well, white women are calm. Black women, from what I understand, are not so calm. Well, white women are very calm about it. And they'll just go, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What do you, are you yelling? Are you raising your voice at me? And then he goes off. So I don't know anything about this NFL case either, but I'm going to bet it isn't because she did something once or twice and he smacked the shit out of her.
Right.
So I'm betting on that.
Well, Kendrick, and interesting you say that, Joe, because the NFL player is black and the woman is white. And when it starts, she calmly says something like, well, things are going to be different around here. And then he just flipped. So, like, we only see, like, a 30-second portion of what happened. So we have no idea what events led up to it, or even the events, the days and weeks and months before that, because for her to calmly say, like, things are going to be different around here, that's not enough to make someone flip like that.
No, of course
there's
not.
Something else going on in this. But the video is conveying that this guy is, like, just a beast, and he should, you know, he's horrible, and he just abuses women. This, there's way more to this. I showed a clip and saw her, like, I don't know if it was the day after the incident. She has no bruises on her, but this guy was just in a rage. He literally threw her into a television wall. So, yes, things do happen, and we don't get the whole story.
You're absolutely right.
That's why I did the NIH, because women initiate so much psychological aggression towards men. And then, you know, one is to say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. The other is to get in a guy's face and say, I'll kick your ass. And then when he hits her, she's like, oh, you're a man. You're not a real man. Why would you hit me? So, insane. So, Kendrick, go ahead, Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
And then Reggie. What?
Well, it's like you said, Ted and Mr. Joe, you laying on the up inside, he just going to want to punch you upside your head out the blue. Unless something like you said, some heads have been led up to that. And the man couldn't take no more. He couldn't hold it back, and he just snapped. But now, I personally couldn't find myself just going upside that woman's head like that, you know. Something serious had to happen. She either had to put her hands on the man or something to it. That's all I'm saying. You just don't up and snap.
Right.
Normal people don't up and snap.
Right. And so, you know, a lot of women may say, well, you know, you guys are trying to take his side. If anything, we want to understand, and we're looking at, and that's why I laid out some reputable statistics of what happens physically and mentally in relationships between men and women, so that we don't sound like, well, we're trying to promote that she earned it or she deserved it. That we're not saying that. We're saying that women do things and they are not as innocent as they're claiming to be. And conflict resolution, I'll get into that more. It's not so cut and dry, but clearly you can see in the video he was not in control of himself. And technically she wasn't either, but you could say she had more control over him than he had over himself.
So my question to you, Ted, so it's a wonder if the man didn't kill her. So what you think allowed to cause him not to kill her?
The laws.
I mean, if he was already going upside the head and pushed into the TV, that's what we saw. But like you said, we don't know what went on behind the closed door without the camera on there.
Yeah. Exactly.
I can answer that, because Ted said that the day after she had no bruises on him. Just because a man goes off doesn't mean that he's a complete animal. He probably restrained himself from doing damage to her.
Right.
Even though he was enraged, he still didn't beat her to death. I mean, look, we are stronger. You know, it only takes two slaps, and, you know, you're dead if you're a woman. A back slap and a front slap, bitch slap, you know, you're practically dead. But he threw her instead of just beating the hell out of her. He probably restrained himself, because if there were no marks on her, you know, he practiced restraint. Even though he was throwing her around, he didn't throw her up against the wall. He didn't punch her, yeah, from what I understand, right? No marks.
There was an initial, like, closed fist hit in her head, and he slapped her in her head.
Oh, yeah? But
he literally
slap. Yeah.
He did throw her into the TV was up at the wall. He threw her into that sucker. He threw her like she was a rag doll.
And you know something, gentlemen, that's what serial killers normally used to tell the psychoanalysts when they interview those people. They always say that the person wouldn't shut up. I couldn't get them to shut up. That's the reason why I whacked them off. That's what them. That's what them killer tabs that they take us in here. Now I'm not making this stuff up. I don't set up NYU as a criminal man, law and order, and God don't know what else to you. You can't make this stuff up.
Hey Nani, go on mute. Go on mute for a second, Nani. Okay, perfect. Thanks. Reggie, you wanna jump in and just for the record, Reggie was a catalyst. He actually spawned this idea in my head, even used the words about men's mental health. So thanks a lot for that, Reggie. You want to comment on this? Okay, he must be in a noisy place. I want to read, Nani, you have a comment in here I want to read too, but PJ said something interesting. He said the reason is because if men open up about their mental health issues, women's vagina would dry out and all men would become unattractive to them. Hence, human population will come to a halt. That's an interesting comment. Nani, but I think...
Well, of course, he's exaggerating, but yeah, I know what he means, and we all know what he means.
Right. And Nani, I want you to come on. She said, but I think mental health therapy for men should be structured differently and even marketed differently to lose the stupid narrative that men can't talk because it shows weakness, which is bollocks.
Good point.
That's a crock, right? In down under.
In England. Yeah.
In
Australia too?
Yeah.
Hi guys.
Hey, how are you?
Hey Ted. Always great to read the statistics that you put up for us. So doing well today. Hello everyone.
Hello there. How are you?
Good evening.
Sorry, am I cutting somebody off?
No, they're just responding and saying good evening. I think there may have been a delay in them hearing you.
Yeah,
there is a delay.
It's a huge topic that I think, obviously I'm a woman, I can only come from a woman's perspective, but I think the narratives, we're challenged by narratives. So we've got generational narratives, especially in my people, as well as the society now and media now that portray men that say, you know, talking is weakness, opening up is weakness, and men are just supposedly meant to walk things off. It's such a huge movement that we need to go against. And obviously I'm a woman and I am trying to understand how to best support men to get mental health reprieve, and I don't know how to do it. I've got brothers, I've got family members that are men that find it really hard to open up. So I think this topic is so extremely important because we've got high suicide rates in the men in my people as well as worldwide. It's evident worldwide.
Yeah, right. And that's right. I spoke about that, right? That's one of the outcomes, right? So men are the stats. Last I saw, 77% of suicides, they're men. Women attempted, I would say that if men attempted suicide and failed, it would be another one of those things like, you know, you're some wimpy dude, you can't, hey dude, what's the matter, you can't take the pressure. I think the comedian Bill Burr made this rather funny joke about he was in a restaurant, and I think the waiter or someone asked him, did he want a cookie? And he said, it was like, as a man, you're supposed to be offended. What do you mean I want a cookie? What the hell is your problem? I'm a man, you know, I don't want a cookie. And then he says, but I really did. But as a man, you can't admit that you want a cookie because it's like such a sign of weakness that you can't even say you want a cookie. So if a man says, hey, I don't feel good about certain things, or a woman says, or he says to his woman, I don't like when you do this, it's like, you're supposed to be a man. Don't you know how to take it? Most men take it. Or if he attempts suicide as a way to get help, he's really seen as very weak. And as PJ was saying, he becomes unattractive to women. PJ also said it's ironic that most women go for men with mental issues, crazy men, who who do not open up. That's insane, right? So men are, yeah, this is a problem, because holding it in and not knowing, not feeling like you have an outlet to talk. I mean, possibly things like AA or NA, where people come and talk about their addictions, and the addiction is almost never the problem. It's what drove them to the addiction. There was something else going on. So those are, I think, yeah, often good outlets. But, you know, why do you have to become an alcoholic or a drug addict to be able to talk?
I think there's so many contributing factors that we really have to fight to kind of rewrite that narrative for men, that it's not okay to talk, because it is okay to talk. But women also play into that too. And I just wanted to give a woman's perspective on that video that I saw, Ted. I am very aware that myself and fellow women are very emotionally driven. And as PJ touched on before, often it can come across as passive aggressive. And we can, I know this because I've done it in the past. I can put my hand up and say that, unfortunately, I've been a person that has used passive aggressive, and I didn't even know it at the time, methods to get a man to elevate and purposely be upset. And because we're such emotionally driven beings, we don't make the best decisions in those times. And I personally believe that, you know, it's not okay for anybody, whether you were a man or a female, to put your hands on anybody else, but that has come from somewhere. And I just wanted to say that many women that I speak with now don't even know what they do in terms of emotionally driven aggression against men, which in ways manipulates a man to feel even more aggressive and more upset than what he would be typically, because of those tactics that are used inside relationships. So I think there's absolutely more to that video than what was shown. Just the fact that she took a video in itself shows manipulation. I mean, if you don't like what's going on, don't video, leave the relationship. So there's clearly an articulated, she's done that on purpose. And as I say, and I say this to even all of my fellow females, that we are emotionally driven and we make very permanent decisions with temporary emotions. And that's something that we need to understand about ourselves.
Thank you for that. Well said. And I'd like to share, and you guys, many of you guys have seen this before. We explain it as just being emotional, but men and women's brains just don't function the same. This is an article. It's World Economic Forum, and it says women have more active brains than men, according to science. So a lot of women automatically think, oh, our brains are more active. That means we're smarter. So it says women's brains are significantly more active in many more regions than men, according to new research. The findings could help explain why women are more vulnerable to anxiety, depression, insomnia, and eating disorders. So what this is saying, and it goes on, and what they did neuroimaging studies, and they put a man and woman in a room at the same time, same place. They connected neuroimaging machines so they could see the activity. And what they found is they gave the man and woman situations, scenarios at the same time, and watched how their brains lit up. And the man dealt with what was in front of him. What the woman did is worried and had concerns and fears about things that were not even there. She worried about something that wasn't happening, was never going to happen, but that was affecting her decision-making and her interpretation of what was actually occurring. So what we just try to label as, well, women are emotional. No, you all are creating all these thousands of different scenarios of what could go wrong, or what's wrong, or what I think this person means, or how you should defend yourself, and these misinterpretations, and then you're ready to argue or take shots at the guy for something that didn't happen. And I'm not saying that to put women down. I'm saying it so that both men and women can understand this actually happens. And if men could take a step back and not be as reactive to it, I mean, that's, and not be triggered. Like, so if you can understand the essence,
exactly.
The essence essence of conflict resolution is being able to manage yourself and your own triggers. It's not so much, it has a lot less to do with how you deal with the other person, how you deal with yourself. And when you can manage your triggers, then it's easier. But if you have information like this and understand the woman is making decisions like this because it's what her brain does. Her brain functions differently from a man. It's not good or bad. You just accept it. Like women have a menstrual cycle. You understand what happens. Your brain functions differently. We understand what happens.
And I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but all that.
Of men, I do think that men need a different forum. I don't know how to achieve that either. I volunteer at Beyond Blue, which is an establishment here in Australia that looks after mental health for men, and I still don't know how to best offer support to men who I see who are committing suicide, who don't know where to turn to. And that's why I think this topic is so important, because I try to tell them, I'm really impressed and I really love that you're here to talk about things and get help. Like, I try to give them that sense of you're still a man and you're still important, because I feel that it's an incredible attribute that you've found the bravery to speak. Like, I try and approach it from a way that I think it's still very brave to still give them that space to feel like a man and not afraid to talk. But that's why I'm listening to your conversation today, Ted, because I would like some real applicable tools that I can use to help as well.
So
let me ask you a question. What's your name? I forgot your name.
Go ahead, Joe.
Huh?
Go ahead.
My name is Nani.
The female.
Yes.
Nanya?
Nani. Nani.
Nani. Okay. For you to say you don't know how to rectify this particular problem, you don't know how to offer support, is that in the situation with boyfriends, or are you talking as a professional or as a counselor? What particular situation are you talking about?
In every situation, as a relative to men, as somebody who volunteers with mental health groups for men, I just explained the small things that I will say to men to offer them encouragement to speak openly. But I asked the question in the chat earlier, how do we best give that support? Is it in a group setting where women are excluded from that and they get camaraderie? Is it in by ways of more people speaking up on social media? Like, as a man, what would you say you need the best help with, and how do we help you?
Okay, and you're talking about in a group setting.
Yes, for men in general, and obviously this knowledge I will apply to a partner as well, but I'm talking for men in general.
For men in general. All right, that's the problem right there. If an adult woman doesn't know how to offer her man or men support, that is the problem. You have to let the man know, listen, whatever you're going through, I understand, or even if I don't understand, just tell me about it, and I'm here to listen to you. And you can either sit the man down, or you can look at him in a way that lets him know that your words aren't lying. And then you sit down with him. And if he cries, have you ever met a man who ever cried in front of you? If you have, what have you done?
Very much exactly what you said. I've tried to reinstill in this man that he is still a man, and even more so for being brave enough to talk. But like many touched on in the chats, getting to the stage where one is brave enough to talk is the hardest bit. And what forum do they feel most safe about that? Because sometimes men won't go to their partners. They'll go to like their groups or their friends, or do they even have somebody to go to at all? And what does that setting look like? For personal relationships, I don't mind when a man cries. I actually find it very humbling, and I am like, it's
empowering. Well, what do you do?
It's brave if a man cries.
If a man's on the couch with you and he starts crying about whatever situation is causing him to cry, what specifically do you do or say when the tears come down his cheeks?
I hold him. I offer him comfort. I offer him a space.
Oh, okay, good. Because I was going, to say that's what you should do, because if that happened to you, men naturally would go over to you, even if they're a few inches away, wrap their arms around you and bring you closer to them. That's the same thing we need if our particular significant other is right there. Because if she's going to say, well, you know, I understand what you're saying, but she's staying 3 or 4 or 5 inches away from him while he's crying or has his hands up to his face, then her behavior decries her words. If you hold him, draw him closer to you, that's showing him that you really do either understand or want to understand. So seems to me that you...
That's not something I'm afraid to do. I believe in doing it wholeheartedly, and I do that, just to address the person who says I am fibbing in the comments. That's not something I'm afraid to do, and I will state this now. I think it's brave if a man does speak up and does seek the help. I'm wanting, so this is in part the reason why it's hard to get help for men, because there are genuine women out there, and I've got friends that are like this who want help, but they don't know how to help a spouse, because sometimes men don't talk to their women, and they don't know who else to talk to. What I'm trying to ask for, and this is why I really love Ted, is Ted gives very good step-by-step conflict resolution and step-by-step processes that we can help men take and women take to better understand each other. I'm looking at it more so from an objective point of view for men holistically. So I also do just volunteer groups. I don't get paid for it or anything, where I put a group of men together and they go and play paintball, and that's it. And I just coordinate that. As a part of that, at the end, it's a challenge for them to talk about how they feel. I'm asking for is just a structural breakdown of one, two, or three steps that men would like women or any group to better approach them with. Now, I know we're trying to fight generational narratives. We're also trying to fight women thinking that men are weak, and so they don't want to appear weak in front of women. I want to try and lose those, but obviously that can't happen overnight. But I can do one to three steps.
Well, I was just about to give you that. Yeah, I was about to give it. Now, Ted can probably, because he's done some research and some studies, and he's prepared for tonight. But I can tell you from my own perspective, as a man, that if you're going to be the head of a particular group, and the men are there, and they know that they're there, either as part of therapy or pseudo-therapy or semi-therapy, you, if you're the coordinator, should let people know at the very beginning that it's okay for men to be vulnerable, even to the point of crying. Now, you should say, we're not judgmental, but we're very supportive, because we understand that men have a very, very rough time on this planet being men. And I suggest to you to read a book called, I gave the title a couple of weeks ago, I forgot it. Hers by Herb, The Hazards of Being Male. It's what men go through on a day-to-day basis, sucking it up, accommodating not only women but their bosses, the kind of structure which society imposes on men's shoulders about how to be a real man, the kind of self-flagellation that men go through if they don't live up to that particular narrative that the Matrix or the, as Ted would say, the radio station that we hear all the time. If you can actually, if you feel this way, Nani, that you want to really help men, then transmit it. Tell them, show them that you are not there to put them down in any particular type of way. You're there to offer true, real support, either in your personal life or in that particular professional setting. Just let them know and let your actions back up your words.
Okay. Thank you. The Hazards of Men, was that the name of the book? Are you able to write it in the comments after?
It's called The Hazards of Being Male. It was written about 15, 20 years ago. It's still pertinent to today. The first name is Herb. I forgot the last name, but okay.
By what's the first
Thank
name?
You for that.
By who?
The first name is Herb, H-E-R-B. Or if I have that wrong, just the hazards of being male is enough. That's the title of the book.
I just wrote it in the chat, The Hazards of Being Male by Herb something. It will come up.
Herb Goldberg, I think it is. I'm not sure.
It'll come up.
Yeah, it'll come up.
I typed it, Nani, in the chat.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well said, Joe. So thank you for that. Definitely.
Thank you. Okay.
Was that helpful for you, Nani?
Absolutely. I think the smaller steps are what everybody needs to start.
So I'll answer two sides. So as I just showed an article, women are more likely to judge and find something wrong and have all kinds of assessments, and they can often be inaccurate. And if a man wants to open up and her brain is firing off in all these different directions and she's making assessments that can be inaccurate and she thinks something's wrong, or she's now assessing, is this man strong enough to provide or protect, because he's falling apart and breaking down and she's being turned off, as PJ was saying, the woman needs to be able to manage that, and she needs to be aware that her brain will naturally do that, and she needs to bring a halt to that and understand her intention in that moment. So and you guys, other men can say otherwise, I would caution against telling a man that he's still a man if he talks about things or cries, because that's almost like you're judging and pretending to not be judging. You follow me on that, Nani?
Yes, that makes sense. And a good pickup, because I was trying to reaffirm that, but you're right. It shouldn't even be a part of the discussion.
Right. He's a man. He doesn't need any confirmation for being a man. He already is that. So, but if it's a guy you're intimately involved with and you do, she dropped off, and you care about him, that would be more important to say, or I love you. Like, those are the times that the guy would want to hear, look, I care about you, and I really want to understand and hear what you think and feel, or I love you. Not like I still love you. I love you, and I want to hear. I don't know if you can hear me, Nani. So I think women have to be kind of trained out of being so quick to judge everything, and often they're judging based on her own personal perspective that comes down to projection, and so she's projecting. I think Joe or someone, maybe Nani, said it, you know, there are all these preconceived notions. It's, you know, it's perfect the way you said it, Joe. It's the radio station that's telling her men do this, men don't do that, and she's got all these judgments and assessments, and if you don't live up to what I was told a man is supposed to do, now you're less of a man. And instead of her saying, I think you're less of a man now, she now has to avoid saying that. She says other things, and some of them become nonsensical, so which then could send a man into a different kind of rage, because he now feels like he's been stripped of his manhood for being a human being.
Well, see, that's what happens when you let feminism get out of hand like it has. This ain't no overnight thing. This is a product of what, Mr. Joe, 40, 50 years now. So you got young girls now talking about, I ain't going to want to be like my auntie or my grandmother or the ones that's not grandmother now in this feminist era. They want to be the feminist Miss Women of yesteryears, back prior to the 50s, previous years before the 50s. And you can't blame them young girls now, but some kind of way to we the older men gonna have to get to them before these creeps and these feminist folk put their poison in their minds, man. It's the same way with these boys. You got to get them away from some of these toxic folk, some of these toxic women.
Well, one of the things that, and well said, and one of the things that women do, I was in this room, Clubhouse, and the title, you guys may have heard me talk about this, the title was, Why Do Men Continue to Date Women Even Though They Know They Won't Marry Them? And so I said, one of the things that will eliminate you from the marriage path is when a man starts, he sits you down and he starts telling you, hey, when you do X, Y, Z, I don't like that. That's a turnoff. The woman's, and this goes back to the way a woman's brain works. The woman's immediate response is, well, you did this, or you didn't say the right way, or what about what you did? And so whatever the man, and it seems this is where when men really do want to talk, women shut them down. Even sometimes when a woman has a good intention and wants to listen, and the man says something that she can relate to, she immediately starts talking and just talks over the guy. And then it's like the intent was to sit down and talk. And the man starts talking. She can relate to it. She talks over him and just runs. So now the man is never heard. That's one way. The other way is what I was saying. He says something, she gets triggered by it, she doesn't like it, and she can't be with, like she can't deal with any more of what he's saying. So it's almost like to save face in some way from looking like she did something wrong. She just starts saying, well, you did this and you did that. And so this still plays into a man's mental health. And I'm asserting it can even happen with your mother. But definitely if you're intimately involved with a woman, this is just such a common practice that some men learn to just shut up and say nothing because they want to express and the woman just doesn't want to hear it. Like she's terrified of being wrong or I'm a woman, I'm smarter than you, more mature. Whatever things that her brain is making up, that radio station is just screaming at her. And the man never gets to actually express himself. So it's once again that door he has to go through that says, suck it up and say nothing. And Nanny, I think you're saying
right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
No, go ahead, Nanny. I'll wait until she's finished.
Oh, she was cut out. She's listening, but she's not.
Oh, okay.
She's not here.
Well, the example you're given is still another example of men accommodating women.
Right.
Now, there's I've been not reading that lately, but I've heard about these love languages, men are from Mars, girls are from Venus. I don't give a shit about that nonsense. What I've answered when I've been in those kind of discussions is, does she understand English? Yes. I understand English. That's it. And then I give the example. That's all. That's all of us do. There's no accommodation. And then I give the example about the boss. She doesn't talk back to her boss on the job. She's not late to go to work and arrive at work on the job. She has to do what she has to do and suck it up on the job or she doesn't get paid. So she has to do the same thing in a relationship. But men are accommodators. Men are gentlemen. Men keep believing that women have this sugar and spice and all things nice, as I've said in past shows. No, a woman is a mammal, a human mammal. A man is a human mammal. We have our deficiencies. She can control herself in these situations with the boss. She can control herself in certain situations with her man. This thing about her brain lighting up and going every which direction, to me, is an excuse that she wants to harbor, that she wants to hold in her hand and say, we are emotional creatures. I don't give a fuck if you're an emotional creature. You're not an emotional creature on the job. You're not going to be an emotional creature with me. I talk to you in English. You talk to me in English. We have certain philosophies. We have to find out if those philosophies merge well together. I respect you. You should respect me. I appreciate you. You should appreciate me. And the fact that you're emotional does not give you license to be dismissive of what I say or to try to shut down the conversation or to walk away or to do these the so-called feminine things simply because you're emotional. Bullshit.
Well,
so you can restrain yourself. Yeah.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. If you can do this on the job, you can do this with me. I'm your man. You're my woman. We have to, as Ted, you always talk about, we have to resolve the particular conflicts. But this thing about love language, and I have to accommodate to make sure you understand it, that I have to say it in such a way that it permeates your brain. Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, Mr. Joe, with me, though, it's more than just that accommodation, feelings, and emotion and all that. But with me, it's whatever happened to the golden rule thing, Mr. Joe, that us as boys and supposedly these females are supposed to have been taught coming up as kids. Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. I think you're also implying reciprocation. That's my big thing. If I can do this for you, you can do this for me. Maybe we have different ways of doing it, but if I can show you my consideration, you can show me your consideration, and I don't think there's much difference in male to female styles. If I were to dismiss what you say to me, the same way that you as a female would dismiss what I would say to you, you would be all upset and call me a bully and a member of the patriarchal system. So I think that's what you mean. The golden rule is treat other people the same way you want to treat yourself. Is that what you're saying, Kendricks?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And particularly in regards to the relationship aspects in particular. But that's not what we're seeing out here. We seeing some horror, some House of Horrors type of stuff out here now.
Also,
and don't nobody want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you technically don't want women to treat you the way they treat women or themselves. The golden rule says treat others the way you treat yourself. The platinum rule is treat people the way they want to be treated. And that is much better for men because
that was a misnomer on my part. The golden rule is what you said was the platinum rule. Treat others as they would want as you would want them to treat you. Yeah.
No. Treat others the way they want to be treated. Don't treat them the way you want to be treated. See, like Joe, you may want to be treated differently the way I want to be treated. So I need to understand how you want to be treated and act accordingly.
All right. So you're diving deeper, further into it. Okay.
No. The golden rule says treat others the way you want to be treated. The platinum rule says treat others the way they want to be treated. They're two different conversations.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I see the benefits and deficiencies of both.
Just find out how people want to be treated. You don't need five love languages. You don't need men are from Mars and Venus. We're both human beings. But this is what I had said before. When women will sit down and talk, they'll cut one another off, and they're comfortable with that. Men may not appreciate that. So if a woman treats you the way she treats other women, she may be okay with that. You get what I'm saying, Joe?
Yeah, that's why I see the deficiency in it, because if she wants me to treat her the platinum rule, she wants me to treat her the way she wants to be treated, that means with the kind of conditioning that women grow up with, that she wants me to accommodate her as an all-perfect gentleman, the subliminal hero, and a lot of other combinations merged in with that. And I say, to a degree, I don't mind. But beyond that rational degree, no.
Right. No, I get that. Now I see what you say about his deficiency. That's the treat me like a princess thing. I'll come back to that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like before I get into a situation like that altercation with this NXPL dude you showed and his woman, I would just rather pack my things and walk out the door before I destroy each other in a situation
Right, exactly.
That's how I was brought up, not to put your hands on no woman, what I'm saying?
Right.
But if your life in danger, that's a whole nother situation. These dudes going upside these dudes' head and doing all kind of crazy stuff to them, chick. So,
right.
Yeah.
It would behoove us to say that man, he probably actually did was lashing out at her. You know what I mean?
Right. I
didn't hear
on.
What you said, Kendrick.
Joe, I want to address something Joe said.
Okay.
The whole thing about the way a woman's brain works is definitely not an excuse. So, so let me just say this: there are differences, and maybe this has been there for a long time, because when a man goes out into the world, because he's physically stronger, because other men generally understand boundaries with men, a man may feel be less concerned about threats in the world. So he goes about his life every day and goes through knowing that no one's going to bother me, right? I'm not concerned about anything.
Okay.
A woman
doesn't
have that same physical ability, so she's more on the lookout for what could go wrong to protect herself, where a man is not worried, I'll just handle it when it comes. And a woman is trying to avoid stuff. That may be, you know, millions of years the way women's brains develop, and that's where they are now. If a woman wants out of that, honestly, it's going to be a man who trains her out of that. And so that's one of the benefits of working in a corporation, because there's an etiquette, right? So there's some women who have never received the proper training in a company, and they lose their jobs, they flip out, right? Because no man has trained them. But when they're properly trained, as you all are saying, they know what the limits are. So there really are differences in the way a woman's brain functions. And when she has her menstrual cycle, we all understand this is not about being emotional. I mean, I was dating this woman from the Middle East, and her response was interesting. I've been dating her for, I don't know, a couple of months. And one day we're in New York City, and she's just like, I was like, whoa, she's never like this, right? She's never like this. And I said, I asked her a question. When is your menstrual cycle? Next week? And she said, what does that have to do with anything? I said, when is your menstrual cycle? And she said, I think it's next week. And she started laughing, and she stopped. She stopped nagging. Like, she just laughed and jumped on my back, and it was over, right? And the rest of it went fine.
Good.
But if I would have reacted to her, then we both would have exploded, right? And it would have been nonsense. You get where I'm coming from with that, Joe? So understanding...
Oh, yeah, sure. But I... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's understanding that you're
lucky you had a woman who knew you were joking. I mean, you can say that... you can say that that joke the same way to another woman that you were dating for, let's say, a few months. And she might have taken it the wrong way because of the firing's off in her brain, as you were talking about.
Right,
so it's a
right.
good thing that woman had a sense of humor.
Stay with that. No, Joe, what I'm going to assert culturally, because she had only been in the U.S. for a few months. So she was from the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So that there was a, it seemed that responsibility was more prevalent for her than it was for the women in the U.S. So another woman, just years later, we're on the phone, and she starts, same thing, same thing. And I said, wait a second. And I had been dating her longer. I said, I know your menstrual cycle is next week, and I'm not going to have this conversation with you until after your menstrual cycle. I'm not going to do this with you right now. And man, she flipped out. What do you mean? I don't appreciate that. Don't you talk to me like that. You're not acknowledging my thoughts, and you're ignoring me, and I don't like that. And I'm not going to talk to you right now. I was like, okay, great. We won't talk right now. But Joe, it's here to punchline to the story. In the morning, I received a text, and she said, guess what happened? She said, guess what happened after we hung up?
She had her menstrual cycle.
Exactly. Her period started.
Yeah.
In both cases, Joe, I didn't argue with them. I acknowledge that there are differences. So instead of me getting caught up by them, I acknowledge that there are differences in them, and that men need to be designated drivers. I understand we're talking about mental health, and men need somewhere to express themselves, except at the same time, you have to understand that there are times where you have to be the designated driver, or otherwise you both are intoxicated by her shenanigans, right? You follow me on that?
Oh, yeah. If the man doesn't take control, then she's going to continue to be the irrational female that she believes she has a right to be.
Right.
So the man should take control.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in both, I said, hey, your menstrual cycle's coming up, isn't it? And, one woman laughed and, jumped on my back, and everything was cool after that. The other woman wanted to get upset and angry, and her brain starts firing off, and the radio station's screaming, you're trying to control me, all that stuff. But then what was interesting after that, even though she got upset that day, once she sent me the text to say, guess what happened, any time after that, if I said, when's your menstrual cycle, she would giggle and she would calm down. So it was a way for me to establish that kind of communication, so that as a man, I don't get upset and now I'm freaking out. And this is, I'm going to assert, this is part of a man's mental health. That's why when I talk about conflict resolution, so I resolved the conflict instead of arguing with him, knowing what was happening. You follow me on that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, instead of exacerbating the situation, you wanted to calm it down by your particular method of conflict resolution, which worked. Yeah.
Well, it means that I didn't get caught up in her conflict, right? And I didn't get triggered by it. So I had to make decisions that would be in the best interest of how do we move forward with this. And in the second case, I told the woman, we can't have this conversation until your menstrual cycle. So I told her flat out, I'll have this conversation after that. And whatever the conversation was, Joe, it never became an issue again. It was irrelevant.
Good. Then it became a permanent solution. Yeah.
Well, it was never a problem. And so that's what I'm also getting at with men. So this is part of what hurts men's mental health. If a man allows himself to get caught up into all the stories and judgments and assessments and fears that women have, then it's almost like you get sucked into this whirlpool, and she ends up running your life, man.
Well, it's a good way of putting it, getting sucked up into the whirlpool. That vortex of emotionality is something, excuse me, that men should avoid. And the designated driver analogy is a good one, in that the man should take control in such a way so as to not exacerbate the situation, but to calm it down and to let her know that he's still her man, and that she is still his woman, and that they can continue on even though they got a hiccup in the relationship. Yeah.
And it's usually not even a hiccup. Just like the Middle Eastern woman, she was just, I mean, literally, she was like,
you know what you remind me of when you do that? You remind me of Bill Burr, because he has part of his act where the woman just never stops, and he goes, and that's part of his act.
Is that what he said? There's never a reason to hit a woman, and he's like, I don't know.
And he starts acting like a robot, and he goes back and forth like he's vibrating. He goes, they never stop.
Now, Ted, you do bring up an interesting point, though. In situations like that, men do need to be trained how to better solve this situation.
Correct.
Some of these dudes, like you said, some of these dudes are short-tempered, and they patience real short. So it don't take much for some of these dudes to be them backhand her like you say.
Well, see, that's what we explain it as. It's short temper, and they get angry. But really, these guys are getting triggered by something. And they may actually be triggered. Some of them may be triggered. The woman may be reminding them of some behavior that they got from they saw with their mother. And they were, as a boy, you were helpless with your mother. You couldn't do anything, except in your mind, you promised to never let this happen to you again. And that woman is reminding of you of something that you resented in your mother. And you can't take it out on your mother, at least most people don't. So you take it out on a woman. And that could be like, 20 years of pent-up anger that you had with your mother, and now you just took it out on a woman.
Well, with me, when my mother said, it was just dealing with kids in general when I was coming up.
With those kids, right, it's a
trigger.
Right.
See, but it wasn't the grown folk. See, the grown folk were the one pulling me up off them kids, did. But every little thing that triggered you.
And Kendrick, do you get what I'm saying? It's still a trigger. It doesn't matter who.
Oh, yeah.
Right. There's a trigger. And so in that moment when the person's triggering you, and see the way some people work, even women in an intimate relationship with her man, if she knows that she just triggered you, she might just push you more and more. Because I was about to say that. it technically allows the woman to be in control of the situation. And what she's banking on is that you're going to, like Joe was saying, treat her like a princess and all the things. Like, you won't cross a barrier. So she's banking that you never cross that boundary and you don't hit her. You might just yell. You may be freaking out, but she's in control of the situation. She's in absolute control.
Yeah, but she gonna be miscalculated if she tried it with the wrong dude, though, Ted.
I understand. She may end up, she may end up dead. But the fact is, you are now controlled by her. And if you kill her, or even like this dude, Zach Stacy, you end up in prison. You end up in jail. So you still, someone else is controlling you now.
I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, those whelps didn't just walk on her. She brought them whelps on herself.
I understand that, but
whatever happened to that woman, she brought it. You can disarm a situation, or you can start a bonfire. It's just that simple. My thing was taught to keep your mouth shut until spoken to, or try to leave. If you feel yourself getting that angry, you need to remove yourself from the situation.
Right, but you also need to work on those triggers. And I'm going to say something that sounds ridiculous. Technically, as a human being, you can unlearn all of, like, 100% of your triggers. That's a lot of work, and it really is very confrontational. It's dealing head-on with a lot of uncomfortable stuff, but you have to deal with it, including rape. Like, even if a woman has been raped, or a man, and those are going to be triggers for you. You can work them through to the point they are no longer triggers for you. So it doesn't matter what someone says. You're not angry because you're not triggered. The person is just speaking to you. I know, Joe, you wanted to say
that's
something.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they can speak, but just don't run up on you. You know what I'm saying? You can run your mouth all day long, but don't run up on me. You know what I'm saying?
Kendrick, hold on. You were talking when Joe was talking. I didn't hear.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear.
No problem. What did you say, Kendrick?
I was going to say that. Kendrick is talking about. Okay.
Hold up. Kendrick, if you work out all of your triggers, no one can trigger you. Like that you're done, man. That's a different level of training. Whatever triggered you last year, if you unlearn all of them and work through them, the same situation will have zero impact on you. Zero. But it's just a lot of work to get there. And most people don't make that kind of commitment to themselves. Go ahead, Joe. What were you going to say?
I'm going to veer off into this question. How long does it take? Because you're talking about getting rid of the triggers, and if there's a lot of triggers in a man or a woman, how long do you think that takes, Ted?
Probably thousands of hours.
Oh, really? Yeah? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the triggers are you almost always connected to some trauma. Here's the thing. So if you grow up in a one-parent household, I don't care if your father died or the mother died, however it ended up with one parent, that's trauma. It's called emotional trauma. So once you take a parent out the house, of course, the child is now emotionally traumatized. And our brains apparently are not sophisticated enough to know the difference between physical trauma and emotional trauma. Only one part of the brain calculates, measures, interprets that, right? So that you're holding all this trauma in one part of the brain, and it can affect other things depending on the subject matter. If your dog dies, that's abandonment and emotional trauma. But if we go back even further, Joe, your birth, the day you're born, the way most of us are born in a hospital, and if there's zero complications, that's trauma. So there's a lot of trauma to work through, Joe. But there are things that happen at certain points in our life, 3 years old, 5 years old, 11 years old, 16, and a lot of those things that happen once we believe that, like, this is the way it is, this just traumatic experience. We spend our life trying to just or prove that that's the way life is. So we look for reinforcement. They see, I knew I shouldn't do this, or I knew I shouldn't be this way because life is XYZ. You know, we have reasons for being however we think we should, whether it's fearful or angry. And so we spend our lives almost like a ball in a pinball machine getting slapped around by situations that remind us of it. So we're constantly being triggered.
Okay.
So a woman could, like I said, the way a woman's brain works, she could be scared of something, and it's not even anything to be afraid of because it's not happening, right? But she's making it up in her head. And as a man, if you're triggered by that, then it just escalates.
Okay.
Yeah, it becomes a big. So you're both being triggered by something. Go ahead.
All right.
I want to hear something else. Go ahead.
Because going back to what Kendrick was saying about getting the hell out of a situation like that, which also goes back to one of the reasons why I made up that particular list of mine. If you're going to enter into a relationship, set your boundaries so that both people will know what they are And if he or she violates them within a too soon of a period of time, that's the time to leave. You shouldn't let yourself get embroiled in a situation where you keep on thinking, well, things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. She has a reason. It's my fault, et cetera. Because, again, I don't give women that much slack. You are accountable for your actions. You act a certain way under certain situations where you restrain yourself from being this emotional creature. You can do so with me. You can do so with other men. If there's misunderstandings, then we should both sit down and resolve it, even if it takes a little bit of a while. But if she's going to show me irrational behavior too often, I'm not saying if she's late 4 times in 20 years, you know,
right.
That's stupid.
Right.
But if she's late 4 times in a row, and you know, and you've said to her, being on time is important, then you know that she will claim she is a responsible, intelligent human being. Therefore, she should be held accountable for those particular actions of being late 4 times in a row for 4 dates in a row. She's doing it either consciously or subconsciously to annoy you. And you can actually take the choice and sit down and try to resolve that. And if it doesn't take too long, then I would say, cool, go for it. But if you can't resolve it, and then another issue comes up and you can't resolve that issue within a rational, reasonable period of time, I would say that to answer Kendrick's question, which was implied, get out. Because it's not worth your time and energy to invest in a woman who consciously or unconsciously is trying to trigger you, trying to push your buttons. So that's what I was saying.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. No, I actually can relate to that specifically, Joe.
Hey, Ted, am I on?
Yes.
Reggie's here.
We're hosting the house.
Hey, did you try to bring me on, Ted, at all?
I asked you if you wanted to speak, and you said nothing, so we kept going.
Yes. How long ago was that?
I didn't look at the time, Reg.
That was yesterday, Reg. You've been away a while.
No, man. I was asleep, man. I was listening to you and I fell asleep. I'm tired. I got all work.
Either your voice or mine, like, you put it to sleep, man. Wow.
No, man. I'm serious, man. I'm not cold.
I bet it's my voice. I bet it's my voice.
Yes, but the only thing woke me up was my brother called doing your thing, and I had to, so I had to wake up and I looked. I was like, so I don't even know how long, you know, I was gone or whatever. But you know, I this whole, you know, me and Ted already kind of talked about this. I got a history. When I, like, my first girlfriend, I didn't know what was going on back then because, you know, I was only 17 years old, some shit. But she used to always be trying to set me off. And, you know, I just, you know, told, you know, when I got older now and listening to you cats and everything that's been going on, I just thought I had to go back to this stuff, right? And, you know, it's like she would try to raffle me, or we got to fight. If, you know, so if I, like, was to breathe hard, ooh, I got you to breathe hard. You're breathing hard. See, you know, she would always be trying to. I couldn't, and I used to look at her. I'd be staring like, why isn't she trying to do this stuff? What is this shit is about? And then the next day, you know, she'd be like, I'm sorry, or you know, I mean, one day her mom was about to have to pull me off her ass. And, you know, I had to leave, and she's like, Reggie, you got to go. I mean, so I've seen, you know, I experienced this stuff a lot as a young boy in high school, but exactly what was she trying to do? It was a form of trying to control me or what? I mean, you know, I was sitting here listening to y'all conversation. I just started thinking about, I mean, it, you know, that was one. There's other cases. I don't know, maybe if these women just really, the idea of pissing you off is like, you know, is that drama thing again. What do you guys think?
I think they want to see if you're beta or alpha. That's what I think, Ms. Marie.
Yeah, but if it comes out, I mean, you knock her ass out. I mean,
I'm talking about. You can get in more trouble than she can, but she can still go down the street and find the next dude to knock her out. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, so if I get women, so if I knock her ass out and go to jail, she can just go down the street and get another dude to start this shit all over again. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly
okay,
what I'm
saying. Okay, then don't tell me something. So then, any woman that's setting you off and trying to intentionally piss you off, she really don't give a shit about you then, right?
Yeah, but then she can't be because she wouldn't have been doing it, right?
That's my whole point. Hold on. Put on mute.
Not necessarily, Reg. I have another thing.
What you got to say, Joe?
She may care about you, but she may also love the drama. And so she may want the drama for somebody she cares about. Not taking into consideration how it bothers you. The selfishness goes towards her. She wants the drama and a lack of consideration is there. But she may care or have cared, but wants to be, you know, women love the strong man, the so-called bad boy. So she may have been trying to inspire you to be the bad boy so that she could then assume the role of victim. Oh, I lost control. He did this to me. But she may have cared, but she was just stupid.
Well, women do that. Oh. Women do that all the time. Forget me. Women do this type of stuff all the time to guys. Shit testing.
Well,
you know, trying to get a reaction out of you. You know, and then it can go left, just like this time. You know, this guy. I don't know if this is the first time. You know, he beat her ass, or you know, something had to happen between him. But now. It might be the fact that he has a five month old kid with this woman, and he can't just walk away. She might have been. I'm pretty sure she was using that kid to fuck with him.
But Mr. Ridge, look at this though. These kind of cases are way too common in America now. Though. So something ain't right with these cases.
In one second,
okay, yeah.
Chris, hold you know up, what? Guys. Hold up. Chris, you've been off mute for a long time, so you can speak anytime.
I didn't even know
I was on the line. Yo. Yeah, I didn't even know I was on the line.
Chris.
I didn't hear tell me that I was in the show.
What up, Chris?
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, Ted? What's going on, fellas? The number one thing men have bought into this Disney fairy tale bullshit where we're supposed to be in touch with our feminine side, and we've forgotten that we're supposed to have that violent ruggedness, right? And that's what makes women respect you. You get into a battle of words with women, she's going to win, because that's their only defense mechanism. That is how they deal with each other. So, you know, when we bought into the pen is mightier than a sword, well, that's what women use. Women use a pen. Men use a sword. If I cut both your fucking hands off, you can't use the pen. So the sword will always be mightier. But until men realize that, if that's where your true strength lies, that not only do you have logic and reason on your side, but you also have the physical ability to enforce that logic and reason, you don't have to have a battle of words with women. And all these men that are committing suicide are usually men that were married that had everything taken from them because they bought into this bullshit Disney fairy tale that, oh, if I just get married, you know, she'll like me and, you know, she'll respect me and blah, blah, blah. And then what do you see happen? You see these women watching these TV shows where they say all men are stupid. So she disrespects the man. She teaches the children to disrespect the man. And he grows up being a eunuch and a dunce in his own house and being the least respected in his own house, even though he's the one that provides and he's the one that protects the family.
And I'm in agreement with you.
It's simply because that man, the same low-level expectation of violence that men have for each other, women need to have that for us too. And if you're not willing to give women that, then they're not going to respect you. You can talk all day, but until a bitch ain't going to listen to you, slap the shit out of her.
That's what I'm saying, Chris. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Keep bail money in your bank account. Keep enough money for bail, right? Because you may have to go to jail to prove a point. Keep enough money in your bank account to go to jail, and when that bitch get out of pocket, slap the dog shit out of her. I guarantee you, if enough women see you check that one woman, they won't test you again.
And you know what, Chris, what's interesting about what you said, the fear has been drove out a lot of women. They don't think dudes still got that old school, but knock the dogs not out of you type of masculinity. But that's not the case.
Well, let me recommend this, guys, because apparently all of us have been in those kind of situations. What I've done, I have thrown two women out of my house. Didn't slap them. No marks on them. But they knew who was the boss. Okay? So,
right.
And I'm not saying, Chris, I'm not saying that you're wrong in terms of the female knowing that she's going to respect the guy who smacks the shit out of her more. But don't forget, the law is on her side. And yeah, and you also mentioned bail money. I am not going to go through that nonsense with her, but I can legally throw her out of my house physically without getting into trouble.
Yeah,
so I've done that.
You still establish your physical dominance over her. Slapping her, whether you slap her or throw her out your house, you're still doing the same thing. You're establishing physical dominance over her, and that's what you have to do as a man.
Okay.
You cannot just use words. Words are like Harry Potter spells.
Well, I see you. Yeah, I see your point there. Yeah. I thought you were only using that as the solitary solution, but
that's the extreme. That's the extreme. If you can pick a bitch up and throw out the window, do that too.
Well, I think you just reached a new extreme.
Hey, I'm not even saying that window has to be on the first floor. I'm not even saying that window has to be on the first floor.
Extreme or not, but you got these dudes doing it. And like this man, Chris, we're going to continue to have these type of cases because these dudes getting passed.
To answer Nani's question, those men that she's trying to comfort, you know, why is it that you think you can fix men? You can't do it. Words don't fix men. Once they get broken like that, they don't. Because those men have been lied to their whole lives, and they've been told that if he just goes and they become a provider, that women will respect him and blah, 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 blah. And then they have the rug pulled out from under them. And then you think you can come in and just talk soft and sweet to them for 5 minutes. And then when they leave your presence, the world shows them the complete polar opposite. And that's the reality that they have to deal with. Why do you think your words can do it? You can't.
It's up to that man
to pull up his bootstraps and realize how the world is, and it treats accordingly. He has to get back in touch with his masculine side, not your words.
Well, the way that you just expressed yourself.
Me being in touch with my masculine side, I know one thing. Your words mean jack shit to me. Matter of fact, I don't even like when women talk. When women talk, it irritates me.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, especially if they're just not really listening to you. They just want to get their point across. They're not trying to reciprocate. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they're saying. Here's what I want for a woman. Tell me what you currently need and shut the fuck up. I'll do it. If you need your car washed, tell me you need your car washed. I'll go wash your car. Once your car is washed, shut the fuck up. Don't talk to me.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You're hungry. I'm going to go get you food. I'm going to feed you. Once you are fed, shut the fuck up.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm a little different. I like good conversation. I don't like confrontation. And women know they after a very short time that I'm not the one that they should exercise their princess mentality with. And yet I've never ever. Huh?
The more conversation you have with a woman, the least he's going to respect you.
Okay.
She's going to start to view you. She's going to start to view you as her peer. You're going to be viewed as her girlfriend. And she's going to start to respect you.
Well,
I would say that probably has a lot to do with her social class. She may not be accustomed to certain things, and that probably rings true with some women. But there are too many women who come out of a two-parent household and have had enough conversations with their father, and still, even as an adult, 30, 40, 50 years old, still go to daddy and talk about certain things. Not like they're helpless, but I mean, they still respect their father. I've seen that with women in my family and how they go to my grandpa about. So throwing a woman out the house, I've done. I've had women say, well, why can't I talk to you the same way, you know, a man would talk to me? Because I can throw you out the window and you can't throw me out. I've said that. And so that helps them kind of rethink how to engage me. But probably the biggest problem is women are claiming that they can be like men. But with men, if we get into a verbal altercation, we both know that there's a line that if we cross, this is going to be physical. And we know that. We understand it. And that affects how we engage that man, get, you know, our point across. Women don't understand that line, and they can cross it. And then it gets out of control, and they want to say, you're not a man. So based on our society, as men, we're told we can't cross that line with women. But women are allowed to violate those boundaries like you talked about, Joe. And that's a big problem.
Yeah.
So if women truly want equality, then we have to erase that. We have to give them the same interaction that we would give to men. Violate, get hit, same, like this guy did in the video.
I'm an advocate of men hitting women if they put their hands on the man. If they don't put their hands on the man, then I'm somebody who says, you either leave or I leave. Or we can try to resolve this. Now, if you don't want to resolve it now, we can resolve it later. But if she's not going to go along with the program, then either I got to go or she's got to go.
Women do not want equality. They don't understand what that really means. We would treat them the same way. Like, as a guy, you get too much of my face, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
And he understands that. That's why he watches the distance and how we interact, unless this is just going to be a fight, and we both know by body language this is going to be a slugfest.
Men, when we start to get into verbal altercations, before we even have that verbal altercation, we've drawn a line, and we're just waiting for that other man to cross it. Now, after he crosses, you know, we're going to fisticuffs, and after, you know, after the dust settles and the smoke clears and, you know, and all the blood stops running, you know, yeah, we're cool. We're going to sit down and finish that conversation, and that's going to be the end of it, you know. Ain't no police going to get called, you know, nothing's going to happen, you know. But women expect to challenge men to the point where they push us to that point, and then when the physical violence comes out, and all that, you know, I'm just as equal as a man. I'm a man. I don't need no man. All that shit goes away because then they're on the phone dialing 911. Now they need a man.
Exactly, Chris. That's exactly my point.
Oh, you didn't need a man before when you were in my face telling me you could whoop my ass and all this. But now that I beat the shit out of you and proved that you can't beat my ass and that you need to check yourself and keep your attitude in check, or I'll keep it in check for you, now you want to call a man. Now you want to call the police.
Right.
Well, you should have just stayed in your place in the first place, and we wouldn't come to this point. Then that's the problem, though. That's the problem with your approach. See, when you have the approach that you have, women expect all men to have that approach. They're not locked. They're stupid. Women are stupid creatures. They're dumb. They see one man do one thing, and they expect all men to do it. So they expect all men to talk and reason with them. They don't understand that there's men like me that'll choke the shit out of them.
And then you got men who will put a bullet in their head, and they don't understand it.
Right. You see these women dating these pookies and ray-rays, what they love, and these pookies and ray-rays, they're on the street shooting men. They're on the street shooting, robbing men all day long. And then they come home, and these women think that they can get up in these guys' face and talk shit to them. You can talk shit to him after he's just spent all day unloading clips at men, and you think when he walked in the house he hasn't reloaded and you can talk shit to him? No, he's reloaded now. You're going to get that next bullet.
And see, Chris, it's gonna take an honest to God, believe it's gonna take a blackout across this nation for them women to start to see that all dudes ain't the same. So you, a woman, ain't created equal to no man. So back to that train situation, Chris, where the men was fearing that rape taking place, men was like, no, you want equality, you got it. I ain't getting involved in it.
Hold on. Somebody filmed. You talking about the rape the assault that happened on the train in Philadelphia? Somebody filmed it.
Yeah, somebody filmed it. They like, no, I ain't gonna get involved with that.
That's funny.
Hold on, guys. We went off the rails. So here's the thing: you can hit a woman, you can shoot a woman, you can do all that. But here's what I promise: in that moment, you are no longer in control of your life. Even when she's dead, she's running your life.
Okay, so what about the consequences for them, though, Chief? That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter. See, this is the flip side. This is the thing that is part of the mental health. Do you want a woman running your life?
No, and that's why I don't
deal
with
it. Do you want?
If you're going to deal with women, you have to accept the fact that they are going to run your life. It's that simple.
No, but see, that's the mental health men have embraced and believe that that's reality.
That is the reality. If everything in society is in her favor, meaning you can't correct her without any expectation of consequence, then that means if you enter a relationship with one of them, she's going to control every aspect of your life.
Right.
It is what it is.
And that's where men are failing with their own mental health. That's what's hurting men. Because they think there's no other
way. Hold up, Ridge.
Men have built their own trap.
Yes, I agree with you. And men have foolproofed their trap. Men have foolproofed their trap for women.
And that's why I'm having this conversation, because men have built a trap and don't know how to get out of it except turn over control to the woman. And this guy, this football player, Zach Stacy, this woman is now in charge of his life. He's been locked up.
Yes, and that's why I said, men have built a trap for women. The only way to avoid that trap is just to avoid them. You avoid them, you avoid the trap. You have happiness. It sucks. I know. It sucks. Because the sad thing about it is most men nowadays want marriage, want children. They want the American dream was never something women wanted. It's something men wanted.
No, women wanted
Hey, Chris, you're exactly right. But
men that want marriage and children where women don't want it. Women just want to be whores. Let them be whores. Treat them accordingly.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I love whores. Don't be loving whores. Let these bros do what they're going to do. But that's my whole point. When Ted first came up with the podcast, is you know what? Ted.
You guys
listen, Ted. Relationships, every relationship is gynocentric. Okay, it's gynocentric. She's in control. So, if you decide that
even
you want to get in
about
some
exercising the power,
Chris,
that Joe and I was talking about. You know, let's say you don't go to the extremes that I'm talking. Let's just say you go to what Joe's talking about. Okay, so Joe's in a relationship. Joe's girlfriend, you know, who he has over, you know, she starts mouthing off whatever. Joe kicks her out, right? If she's been staying over Joe's house and she has one piece of clothing in Joe's house, if she really wants to, she can sit in the parking lot, call the cops, and the police will come and make Joe leave his own house. And make Joe find somewhere else to stay for the night.
No, Chris, no, that's inaccurate.
I've seen it happen. I've been there when it happened. The cops turn to the guy and just say, because it's easier for them to just say, hey, do you think there's somewhere you can go for the night, sir? Just to the mark when she calms down, because that's the quickest solution.
No.
Hey, excuse me, gentlemen. Am I saying something wrong here? Because I'll say something, but nobody wants to interject. You just have to leave. You cannot be in a relationship. That relationship between man and woman is dead now. Not unless you guys want to be a bitch in a relationship. Man has screwed this up. I mean, unless they want to go back and reverse everything, take her rights away, are they going to do that? No. So my whole point of it is she's gonna have power and control in the relationship, and she's gonna try to put all the responsibility on the man. Do any of you guys?
Right.
And I'm gonna ask you. I just want to know what's the benefit? I want to know from you guys. I'll say something, but nobody wants to interject. I want to know, what is the benefit now for any guy to be in a relationship with these women when they had this type of power and control over? What's the benefit?
Yeah,
How you gonna be a man?
Women want the power of a man, the privilege of a lady, and the accountability of a child.
Okay, listen. Again, Chris, you didn't answer my question. Why? What's the benefit of any man being in a relationship with them in this day and age under the present situation? What is the benefit?
There is none.
She has all the power.
There is none.
That's what I. Hey, but see, wait a minute. Because see, your guys are running around in a circle. The answer is right there. Leave these bitches alone.
No, the answer is wait until these lights go out, and then it's going to be hell out here. That's what the answer is going
to
be.
Reggie,
you have to stop talking.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't give you a chance to answer. Go ahead, Ted.
So the first thing is, if you have no clue what's compatible, what you're saying is correct, and you can come up with a lot of evidence. And that is a certain level of mental health, right? That there's a level of resignation and helplessness, that there's nothing you can do. I have no interest in that level of mental health. So the benefits for me would be several things. So, you know, I work, and I like to also work out. I like to do other things. So cooking and cleaning consumes my time. So and it becomes very easy to understand why wealthy people hire maids and all that, so that they can focus on other more important things. So to have a woman take those things off my plate is like delegating. It's like being a CEO in a company And as a CEO, there are things that I do, and I can do them, except the opportunity costs for me to do them are too high, and I'd rather hire someone and delegate it to them. So there's the other part of it is that she works for me, and her job is to open doors for me. So as I'm out doing my work and not able to network with people and create the kind of personal relationships that I would need that women can actually do. So this woman opening doors for me with another man's wife and allowing me to get business opportunities that I wouldn't have gotten to because I may not have met that man, and it may have been a little bit more difficult for me to create that kind of personal relationship. That woman is responsible, so I've delegated that to her also. The third thing is I don't have to go hunting for sex. That's going to be there. So there are certain boundaries. If she's going to withhold sex, she's out. You're gone. If she doesn't want to cook and take that off my plate, then you're right. I don't need her. And if she doesn't know how to open doors in a network that's important to me, then she's irrelevant. If she doesn't know how to resolve conflict, if she doesn't want to learn, if she doesn't know how to learn, then she's all irrelevant. But if she's compatible with me in those areas, especially managing money, how she maintains her physical body and her mind, if we're compatible, then she can actually benefit me. And then I am not in this mindset of resignation and helplessness. So a woman could be on my team if she understands what the team is and the role that she plays in ensuring that the team wins. All those things I can do myself. I just can't be everywhere. So to have someone on my team that I can delegate certain things to becomes like a corporation, and at a high level, I'm getting things off my plate so that I can do the things that I do best and have greater focus. That's the answer to your question, Reggie.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Ted. You said this countless times before that there's that the elite class have
affluent.
Say again?
The affluent class.
Right. They have a lower level of divorce and more cooperation from women, right?
Yes.
So wouldn't you agree that there's a smaller number of men in the affluent class than there is, than the rest? That's maybe what, 5% of men in this country?
Yeah, that could be generous, but 5% or less, yes.
5% or less. Okay. So if it takes being in the affluent class for women to cooperate with you, what are the other 95% of men supposed to do?
Well, wait, Chris. What you just said
is that?
No, stop, Kendra, because that's inaccurate. These men get married before they have money. Most of them.
Right. Okay. They get married. They get married before they have women. They have money, but
no.
The women,
before they have money.
When you agree,
they get married.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you.
So and
listen, women see the potential.
Some of them,
right?
Some of them have lost it all, and the woman still stayed.
Right. They made a lot before they lost it all, and then they
no, no,
they did it again, and they failed.
Not always. Not always. No. Not always the case. Not at all. Not that they were not affluent. They were just dudes. They were not affluent. Some of them have come from affluent families, but not always.
So why is it the market share of men can't get the same cooperation and loyalty that women are offered the affluent now?
Because men don't.
Because if we have to go to the affluent men and use them as an example that women will cooperate with men, then to me it's sort of a false narrative. If you say, 5% of men are getting this, so every man should get it. It's like saying, 5% of black people are able to go to college, so why isn't all black people going to go to college when we know that it's hard for a lot of black people due to financial constraints to be able to afford to go to college?
Okay, so we can take it from two extremes. One's the affluent, and one is the lower quality men, the thug dudes, right? And you can actually learn something from both extremes, because both extremes tend to have less problems with women. So the dudes who you call thugs don't give a shit. And they make demands on women, and those women fulfill those demands. The common ground with the affluent, those men don't give a shit because they know they can get another woman if they want, and they make demands and they stick by them. That's the common thread between those two groups of men. And so that
I disagree with thugs making demands. Thugs don't make demands for them.
Hold on. I don't even know what you said. All I'm saying is that there's a common ground in those two men not being afraid to make demands. It says something about women and what they respond to.
Yeah, but thugs don't make demands for women. As a matter of fact, it's the fact that women treat them like birds with broken wings because they know they have a little power society. And the only reason why women like thugs is because of hybristophilia, because it runs so deep in women.
And let's say that's most of them, right? So those are the lower, those are the wannabe thugs. But the dudes who are thugs, that's a different world. So you have some wannabe dudes, but the guys who are, they don't get treated like that. If anything, they may be the abuser.
No, I agree, and that's what I'm talking about, the expectation of violence. Those women know that man will knock the shit out of her, but still, this man has been out all day doing nefarious things, and that's where his appeal comes from. He doesn't care the fact that he doesn't have anything, you know.
I understand, but there's a common thread between that man and the affluent man. There's common thread, and the woman knows what the I've talked for a couple of weeks about, if your woman is not walking on eggshells, then you're failing.
I agree with you. The problem is when she's walking on eggshells, she still can use that against you. The laws will still cater to her, and you can still potentially, there's potential consequences for you for that. You know what I mean? Particularly if you marry her. Now, let's say, you know, while you're dating, she's walking on eggshells or whatever, and you go to marry her. Well, you didn't sign a prenup. Or even if she did sign a prenup, she could say that she was under duress, whatever, when she signed that prenup. And when she gets ready to divorce you, simply because she's fallen out of that Disney fairy tale love, you know, which only lasts about, you know, 4 or 5 years at the most. Now she can take half of everything you worked your ass off for.
So then you hired a poor attorney, right? So you're responsible for that. Because most prenups are not thrown out. It's those people who do those one or two pagers. If you do it properly, that sucker's long, 8 to 10 pages, and it says, I didn't sign this under duress. I understand what I'm saying. If you do that and you take the next step and protect yourself with trust, just be savvy about it. Like you were telling someone, some of these trusts only cost $200. You have protected. So the thug protects himself with violence. And the other man, the affluent man, protects himself with intelligence. So he chooses, the thug chooses a woman who loves, I think Reggie was getting to this, she loves drama. She expects to be beat because she comes out of that household. The other woman expects an intelligent man who protects himself, and she understands that those are the rules of engagement. If she wants to play at that level, then she does. What the woman who deals with the thug can't attract that affluent man. She doesn't know how to attract and keep that guy. She might attract him with looks, but she won't stay in the door.
I'm going to agree with you.
Attraction.
He
doesn't need that.
I'm going to agree with you, but I want to point out a few things. Number one, look how much onus you're putting on men. You're putting on men to come up with all these fail-safes just in case, right?
Absolutely.
Right, but there's still no accountability on the women when they do that, right? That's number one. Number two, women don't come with warning labels, and they don't have thought bubbles above their head. So you don't know what's on their mind, and you never know when they're just going to check out, when they're just going to suck your homeboy's dick while you're at work? Were they just going to fuck the mailman while you're at work? Were they just going to say, you know, fuck it, I want a divorce after you've been married for 20 years and you go fishing, you come home, and you find out you've been locked out of your own damn house?
So if
number one, if the onus is always on you,
you better
come up, no matter, come up with all these fail states, right? Because to prepare yourself for some shit you have no idea that's coming. And number two, the fact that you don't know if it's going to come or not, when 80% of the time we know it's going to come, because they file for divorce 80% of the time, right? And we have a divorce rate that's 65%.
Except for the affluent. So I was at lunch.
95% of men. 95% of the men aren't affluent.
Then you need to learn from them. So I was at lunch with a former CEO of a Fortune 200. His wife is 21 years younger than him. And he said, right, I was with both of them. He said right in front of her, if when I get old and I'm, you know, not so useful physically, if my wife decides to run off with some young man, the way I've set things up, she gets nothing. And he said that, and when he said that, I looked at her, and she had kind of a little bit of a goofy face, but there was nothing she could say because he protected himself. So as a man, the onus is on you. Your life is your life, and you're responsible for it. Like, you can't expect a woman to be responsible for you.
I'm agreeing with you.
Ted, okay.
I want to ask you something.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Yes.
I just
want to
put out one last thing, and then I need the floor.
Okay, go ahead, dog.
So you say we need to be like the affluent, right? Well, I can mimic someone who flies a space shuttle all day long. I can play video games, flight simulators, and everything, but I've never flown a space shuttle. If you sit me in the cockpit of a space shuttle and you sit my woman next to me, do you think she's going to have the confidence that I can fly that fucking space shuttle? No, she's not. She's going to look at me like I'm stupid. And number two, women, when it comes to men aren't telling women like the affluent, we don't have that power. So now this is women's own words. They call it big dick energy. They even got a song about it on the fucking radio now. Big dick energy. That's what they say when it applies to a wealthy man or whatever, you know. They say when he's putting his foot down, he's got big dick energy. Well, if you don't have the money that affluent man has, you know what they say? They say you're just broke and angry. They say they use all these insults to describe you. Not that you have big dick energy like the affluent man, even though you're using his same talking points, even though you're doing the same thing he does, even because you watched him and you learned from him. Now you're trying to apply what you've learned from him. They're not going to say you have the same big dick energy as him, because they don't respect you as much as they respect him, because he has more wealth and power. So you can practice all you want from what a wealthy man teaches you, but the fact that you're not that 5%, they're not going to treat you like that 5%. Go ahead, Reggie.
Well, no. Reggie, before. So
I ain't say nothing.
Here's the deal. That man who's affluent, he established that before he got married her and before he had money. And he was consistent about that. And there are dudes who are not affluent. Some of them have been in the military. They've had different jobs. There's a dude who's not affluent, former Marine, and his wife has dinner on the table at like 0600, like on the dot, or 0615, whatever he says. And other women around her are like, oh my God, you know, she just gives him what he wants. There are, I've heard stories like that, especially military dudes, and women respect and honor that. And these are not affluent guys. There are plenty of blue-collar dudes who are dealing with their women similarly.
If you only knew how much infidelity went on with military wives, you would not use them as an example.
I understand. They put the broom out. Yeah, I've heard lots of stories about that infidelity.
Okay. Hey, okay. Hey, is Joe still on here? Or is he gone?
No, he's not here.
Oh, he's gone. Okay, good.
Good. Reggie, that was Joe. Reggie, that was Joe. He said,
What'd you say?
That was Joe who said Joe is not here.
No, that was Chris.
No, that wasn't me. That was Joe. Joe's there. He's still there.
Okay, Joe.
No,
okay, Joe. Wait a minute. Everybody quiet. Everybody had their say. Joe, what do you have to say on the subject?
I think that, Ted brings up a good point talking about the affluent. But the thing is that the raw middle class men who you have to have, unfortunately, control over your wife or over your girlfriend. And then from there, you have to have intimacy. If you don't have intimacy, to answer your question, man, what's the benefit to a man? The benefit to a man, regardless of his particular socioeconomic status, should be intimacy. He should be in love with her. She should be in love with him for the right reasons. Now, how do you accomplish that? Right? It's
women don't love
do,
me.
So, right.
Reggie, yes.
It's very hard to do.
All right, go ahead. All right.
It's very hard to do so in today's world because every chick has that Cinderella complex, which I've always talked about. I'm a princess, treat me as such. But they also want him to see themselves. They are searching for the leader. And the leader should be the man who lets her know, I love you under the right circumstances. You got to bring something to the table just like I do. And when I bring that something to the table, when you bring that something to the table, we also have boundaries. We cannot go beyond those boundaries. Women will respect that, regardless of your socioeconomic class. Now, yeah, when you get to that point, you got to worry about, to me, a bitch I can handle. When a woman becomes complacent, finds that she's got the good life, emotionally, or even financially, she can become very, very complacent about it. And that's what gets me. And in order to conquer that, well, when she brings up drama, that's her way of letting me know that she's becoming a little bit complacent. If she becomes too complacent, then my only answer is surprised at how fast I can fall out of love or fall out of respect with you. Because you still got to treat me. So my answer to that is you can have a relationship with the right women. But that begs the question, how many of these women out here are the right women for the right men? And how do you train them? How do you train them? Well, within the relationship, as I said, you've got to be the leader in that. You are not going to take shit from her. And you got to overcome that Cinderella complex to where she trusts you enough for her to give it up and be with you. Again, if she, for whatever particular reason, does become a complacent, that's my particular bugaboo, it's complacency, not becoming a bitch. It's complacency. If she can become your life mate and realize that she's got the man that she needs as opposed to the man that she wants, you know, fueled by that hero complex, compelled by Disneyland and the Hulk and romances, then she can be happy and you can be happy. But I understand the viewpoints of both Chris and Reg in that today they're both right. The women has all the women have all the power, You got to show her, if you leave me, you're going to be fucking miserable because you're not going to find a man like me because what you wanted, what you needed was a man who could give you true respect, true appreciation, true love, and for you to have.
Hello?
Oh, she's you.
I hope they didn't kick him out because he can't get back in. Oh, they kicked him out. Oh, man. And there's no way.
Tell him to call back in on StreamYard. Well, get back in on StreamYard. That sucks because I had something that I really wanted to ask him.
Yeah, I don't even know if he can hear anything.
Yeah, he might have lost his signal, his cell signal.
Right.
It's past time, so he can't get back into the show.
Exactly. He's kicked out. I'm right in the middle of.
Yeah, so but he used two words that I cringe whenever I hear men say them because they can never define them. And I don't think you should use words that you know you can't reasonably articulate. You know, whenever a man says the right woman, how do you know? Like I said, women don't come with warning labels written on their forehead. They don't have thought bubbles. So it's impossible to vet a woman. You don't know what's going to happen 5 years. The average marriage now only lasts about 5 years. So there's no way you can meet a woman and she has a warning label on her head that says, I'm going to divorce you in 5 years. If men could see that on their foreheads, they wouldn't marry them.
There's no such thing as the right woman. Remember, I said used the word last week. You have to be divorceable. If you marriage material, if she sees you as marriage material, she sees you as divorce material. So she could be sitting there, like I said, they're chameleon. She can play that game for 5 years, 10 years, like you said. And she's just buying her time. So. I just think, you know, I'll go back to finances myself. I mean, if she's got to be putting some finances into this relationship or into me to let me know that she's all the way in. I think that's the one thing with us non elitist Ted, because Ted goes into some other stratosphere, and we all just basic dudes in this thing. So we're not elitist, and we just the average Joe. Okay, so she's got to be showing you, I'm with you. I hate to say you, I'm ride or die. I'm 100% in here, emotionally, you know, spiritually, physically, and financially. And she breaking bread. I think that's the only way that you should be in a relationship is. She's got to be giving you that, bringing you that ass, but before that, she got to be bringing you that cash. Otherwise, I just think you're just setting yourself up. They got this game. I don't know if men are smarter than women or whatever, but they have this instinct, this animal instinct of survival, and this and how to manipulate their way through trying to getting what they want, which is to basically not have to be responsible for anything, but have control over it. She wants you to lead, but she wants to control how you lead. Okay, so.
But look at how smart men is, though, Mr. Reed. Look at all these men that say, yeah, you want to divorce me? Kept fine. I ain't going back in it. I bet you I ain't going back to the plantation. All these dudes, these dudes living the bachelor life. Mid-Cal, SYS, YBM, all them type of dudes, them can't go. And then you got the passport game. Chris can probably collaborate a little bit more than it. You got the passport dude.
If women didn't have such a problem with men, if women really felt that the patriarchy was such a bad thing, and that being under men was such a bad thing, they wouldn't care that men have walked away from relationships and marriage nowadays. They wouldn't be crying.
I'm telling you something funny. Nope. I just posted something on my page because they were trying to beat down Richard Williams, Serena Williams' father. Though some lady came on and said, I think the movie is like King Richard. I don't know the name. Okay, so some liberal white lady took offense to that, talking about, well, you had two great black female tennis players, and all they want to do is mention title of the movie, something King Richard something. So I went and posted on my Facebook thing. I says patriarchal thing build winners, matriarchal not. And I just got through looking at it. All I see is a bunch of women looking at that. They ain't saying nothing, though. Nobody's saying that. But basically what I'm saying is that patriarch builds and matriarch don't. That's all. But and the same thing is this man built, you know, took these girls and made them great. And the lady took offense to that because they making the movie about him and not about, I guess, about the girls or whatever. But the fact that he's a black man or whatever, and it just driving them crazy, you know.
To get back to Ted's original talking point, yes, men's health is very important. And Nani Free, I wasn't trying to be mean to her, but what I'm trying to tell her is once a man is broken, only a man can fix it. And it takes, it's a whole, you know, iron sharpens iron. So it
right.
doesn't take
yeah.
that man being around men. And the only way to fix him is to be honest with him and tell him he has to start. You have to have a cold heart with women. You have to have a tight,
mm-hmm.
cold heart personality to deal with women. You just
mm-hmm.
have to. Anything else, and they'll just take advantage of you.
Well, you know, I mean, they're primal creatures. I mean, they're animal. To be honest, I keep saying they're soulless, bro. I mean, which is, like I said, if you know the nature of what you're dealing with, and you still, you know, going to deal with it, but you know what you're dealing with and how to deal with it, that's fine. But if you want to go in there with some fantasy about, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, you got these fantasies, unrealistic. You know, they're basically empty. And see,
take lions
men,
and bulls.
Right. You know, they're empty.
Lions and wolves, both you have the alpha male leading the pack, right? Well, once that alpha male gets too old, right? And while he's ruling the pack, the women know that this is a big, fierce, strong male who could end my life at any time. I'm not going to challenge him. The older he gets and the weaker he gets, they respect him less to the point where when he gets old and weak and feeble enough, the females all gang together and they'll attack him and kill him or run him out of the pack.
Uh-huh.
And they'll usher in the new young lion who they know to respect. They know that he'll still rip their throat out. And he comes in, he's getting all the pussy now. They want to breed with him. Well, that's because what women respect. They respect that power from men. But the problem with men, like Ted said, men have built the best mousetrap for us. We've built a foolproof mousetrap. And we've given them the power over that mousetrap. So if you get a relationship with them, they have control over that trap. You've walked into the trap. When they decide to close the door and put you in prison, you, it's up to them. Your only power is to not walk into that trap.
Exactly.
Hold on, Rick. You guys got to slow down. You guys just keep going on and on, right? We're not even on topic.
I'm sorry.
Reggie.
Okay,
Reggie.
Well, I'm
Reggie,
going to address
Reggie. God, man, dude, I have a question for you.
What, Ted?
You told me about the movie with Minnesota Fat. I'd like you to explain that because that's what's happening between men and women. Can you see that, Reggie?
I can't. I'd have to really dig into it.
No, that's why we're having this conversation. So just say no, you don't see it. I understand that.
I don't see it. You shed the light on it. Put the spotlight
no,
on
no,
it.
No, 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 Reggie, I made a request. Can you tell everyone about the movie so that they can understand it so that when I then explain it, I want you to give them the context.
For anyone who never saw the original Hustler with Paul Newman and Jackie Gleason, it's about Minnesota Fats and a guy named Joey Feltzer. Minnesota Fats is the reigning, the number one guy, and he hasn't been beaten in 10 years or so. And Minnesota Fats knows that this guy is gunning for him. He finally shows up, and they have a showdown. And they get going. They play for days. Days, and at some point, Minnesota Fats understood that he really couldn't beat this dude straight up. So he had to he pulled a trick. He started drinking. And the homeboys decided he wanted to fall into the trap. And he started drinking with him. And so you know it. I think homeboy was up like 20, 30,000 or something. He ended up losing it all back. And he just fell apart. So the whole thing about it was that he had the talent, the skills to win, but not the character. And that's how he ended up losing that. That's what that was about, basically.
But so Minnesota Fats knew at some point he couldn't beat the guy, so he didn't use pool to beat him. What did he use to beat him?
He used mental warfare on his ass.
And what did the other guy say to him, to the young dude who lost? What did he say? Do you remember?
Well, in the movie, at that time, he was he had fell apart, and he wanted to continue on, and Minnesota Fats said, no, I'm done, you know, because he knew he was done. So, you know.
No, that's not what I asked you, Reggie. The other guy, what did he say to the young guy?
Oh, George C. Scott. George C. Scott told him that he had no character. He told him he was a natural-born loser. Homeboy said, wait, what are you talking about? I had a Minnesota Fats beat. I started drinking. He said, that's right. You started drinking. You were looking for a reason to lose. You were looking for – he said, that's the first time in over 10 years I saw Minnesota Fats beat. You had them, and you let them off because you didn't have any character. You're a natural-born loser. That's what he told him. Is that what you're talking about, Ted?
Yes. That's so perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, technically, the younger dude really was the champion, right?
Well,
technically,
let's just say he had Minnesota Fats shook up, and
Reggie. Mm-hmm. Technically, he was the champion, and like you know, pound for pound, he could beat Minnesota Fats, correct?
Yes.
He was the champion. Minnesota Fats stopped that the only way he knew how, by messing with his head, right?
Correct.
And by messing with his head, he caused the guy to beat himself, right?
Yes.
So it's almost like he helped the guy create his own trap, and the young dude couldn't get out of the own trap, the trap that he created, which made him look like a natural-born loser, even though he technically was the champion.
Well, I don't want to say he was the champion, but he had the potential to beat him. Minnesota Fats knew that this was the guy that could beat him. Okay.
Wait a minute.
He realized that he could not beat this guy straight up, so he pulled a trick on him.
That's why I'm saying that guy was a champion. He was a better player. He really was the champion. But when you look at the whole game, because the same happens in boxing, right? You mess with the guy's head, riding bicycles, like all that. There's a psychological component in all sports, that you play in chess, like all these things. And I'm saying that's what women have done to men. Reggie.
So women are playing chess and men are playing checkers?
No, it's not that. Men are playing pool and women are playing against them in a game of pool. And women know they can't beat men.
Okay. We all know that. So what are they doing? What are they doing for them to get by? They're using, but they're using other men to empower them.
So they do a couple of things. They, even without other men, here's where it starts. You're a little boy. You only want one thing. You're not smarter than girls, and you're not more mature. They got you right there. Because then you buy into it. You actually think women are smarter than men. And so I like laying out the technical aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
You look at intelligence, IQ. Most women are just average IQ, man. They're average and above average. And above average is a fancy word for average, right? They're just the high end of average.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to high IQs, high intelligence, there are some women in that. But most of the people with high IQs are men, the overwhelming majority, which means that men have a greater capacity for intelligence than women do. When you're a boy, you're told a lie. You're told that women have a greater capacity for intelligence. So you've already been undermined. And if you don't
do tell them that, Dad.
It doesn't matter.
My whole point of it is someone's telling them this for a reason. Are men telling their sons this? Are other women? Are women have ran off men and now they're sabotaging the boys? That's what I'm trying to get to see. Is that we kind of going with it?
What I'm saying, Reggie, is it doesn't matter if you live with it like it's a fact. It doesn't matter who started it. Once you're stuck with it, it becomes some of the building blocks of the trap that you built for yourself.
Because
then you start saying, well, they are smarter than us. And I've had guys I know who say, hey, man, women are smarter than us. And I'm like, where are you getting this? Women are more mature. I'm like, nah, as little boys, we're thinking about big picture. We're thinking about raising families and, you know, all the things. We're looking at the big picture and long term. That takes maturity that most women don't have. That's why they're not good at being at leaders in organizations. They're looking at themselves and right now. And they even if you bring them statistical facts, they want to, you know, disown, invalidate those facts. You can't be a leader if you can't hear facts.
Those
are all things showing that they really are not mature, except somehow men believe they are. Like, even though they're showing that they're not, they get upset and angry and irrational. Those are all things of immaturity. Yet we keep saying they're more mature. It's like, you know, it's like the game, the billiard, the pool game with Minnesota Fats and the young dude. All the signs were there, and you ignore them. So that young dude, all the signs were there that he was the winner, and he let himself be thrown off just from the mental part.
Mm-hmm.
Men start doubting themselves, right? And that now you're starting to erode your own mental health. You're doubting, I'm not as smart. I'm not as mature. I'm violent. Okay, so what? Yes, we're built to be more aggressive and violent. Look at sports. And you know what? Those same things that are part of our aggression and violence are the same things that support men taking risks. We take risks. Who the hell else was going to figure out how to fly a plane when no one had done it? Those were very aggressive risks to take because we're built for that. We invest in companies that sometimes fail, or we invest in inventions and they fail and we lose everything. Women don't take those risks. They don't have the biochemistry for that. So women are benefiting. That's how we build civilization, causes it to progress.
They don't, and Rizzy, to answer your question, society is the one who promotes the idea that women are smarter than men. If you look at the social conditioning that that children face growing up, every TV show they watch now, number one, now they're starting to put, you know, some sort of LGBT aspect into it, to where now all the boys in these kid shows are gay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the boys constantly need the girls to save them because they can't think for themselves or because they can't defend themselves, because the boys are busy trying to kiss boys while the girls are the problem solvers. And the girls are the ones out here kicking ass and doing all this and that. And because women live in a perpetual state of a false reality, they believe this shit. And it never, their cognitive dissonance won't allow them to think anything other than what they've been taught by these, by this Disney fact.
Chris, this is not about the women, what I want to get across. I want men, I'm saying this so men can understand that how the trap that they built. I kind of don't care about the women. I mean, we're talking about that, but this, I asked Reggie to talk about that movie because the one dude was the superior and he lost, even though he was a better player. So how could men, you build every single civilization, how could you be talked out of the fact that you are the builder? And the movie Reggie brought up is actually good because you can look at anyone who's great. You don't see the mother behind driving that. Beyonce had her father. Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5. Tiger Woods. Anyone who you're going to find who did something.
Richard Williams.
I never hear when two people are talking. I don't even know what you said.
Okay.
What did you say?
Richard Williams.
Richard Williams.
Serena and Venus' daddy, the one that they give him the heart.
Already, right. You already said that.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure. Okay, go ahead. All right.
Right, I said that first. The movie, you know, the Williams sister, you brought that up. So anyone who's been extraordinary has had their father behind them. Tiger Woods had his father training him to play golf and all the things that he did. And his father wasn't some great golfer, just like the Williams sister. Their father didn't even play tennis. The Jackson 5, what did Joe Jackson do as a performer that we know him as, except he created his children into extraordinary entertainers. And when he saw what Michael had, man, he knew, he saw it like Joe Jackson saw that. It wasn't the mother that did it.
Mm-hmm.
So women can complain about patriarchy and all that, but we don't have any cases of the mother knowing how to pull that out of the father. And I know, Reggie, you say I talk about the elite, but I know quite a few guys who became CEOs of big companies, and that's what their father did. And then maybe their grandfather was also an entrepreneur and took a risk and opened some, you know, big company and started. So what you're seeing, this pattern of fathers creating, these are the champions, except how did you let women talk you out of being the champion?
You know, the funny thing is, well, let me tell you, each one of those guys, and you didn't mention LeVar Ball. A lot of people don't like him, but I like him.
Right. Yeah, there's a good one. That's another good one.
He
has three sons, right?
He had three sons, two presently, two and a half. He had three sons. He had three sons that made it to the NBA. In a way, okay. Two are major players. The other one isn't.
You're going too far with Rich. You're going too far.
Okay. I'm just trying to be okay. Well, he produced three productive sons.
All right, and there's a guy who German dude who told this woman, "You have a high IQ, so do I. I want to marry you, and our children are going to be chess champions." And he did that. They just happen to have three daughters. And he turned all – the father did it, not the mother. The father trained his three daughters to be international chess champions. So we can go down case after case after case, and it's the father doing it, and women are not doing this. So the question is on the table, if men are these champions in producing extraordinary children and building civilization, how could men ever think that they're less than the champions they are? Like that, this is a mental health issue. This is not physical. This is mental.
Well, you know, Pussy ain't for the weak, man. Maybe that box got them, you know, blew the circuit breakers. I don't know. Shit. Yeah. I mean, I hate to take biology. The women, I try to figure it out myself. I can only go there. It's a physical thing, and it goes with that box.
Except all men are not doing that. See, there's a word called power, and if you don't have a good relationship to that word, then you will let the box run your life. But men who have power, the men who understand power, those are men that women will actually pursue. And he may not be wealthy, but there's a level of confidence that women are looking for. So if you're chasing sex, then you actually, by virtue of being a chaser of sex, you have started the building blocks for your own trap. And the women just see the trap, and they help you get in it.
Well, I'm beyond it.
Well, do you actually think, when you said the men with the power or whatever, do you actually really believe that women actually want to get with the alpha dog? Do they really?
Yes.
Do they really prefer in the long term? Oh, in the big picture, which guy does she want? Does she want the alpha, or does she want the beta provider with the resources?
It's not a matter of alpha beta. Women want the man that other women want, because to him he's an accessory that they can flaunt to other women. That's it. That's why women, when they get dressed up to go to the club, they don't get dressed up for men. They get dressed up for women. They put on as much shit as they can, or you know, wear as much skimpy clothes they can, show off as much as they can, because they want to be able to say they look better than the next woman. Men don't give a shit about any of that. Men don't give a shit about the tons of makeup that they put on in the mirror. We don't give a shit about, you know, the high heel shoes that they wear. And then, because if a man wants to dance, then those high heel shoes aren't going to do him any good. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, but Chris, you're right, because of this. Women,
it's peacock.
Women use the beta man and the alpha. They both get used by the woman in different ways, but both of them get used for her benefit.
So she's still
really just looking out for herself. It's all about her.
Reggie, do you understand the man who's least likely to get used like the alpha and the beta?
Me,
the sigma.
No.
Everybody always talks about the alpha and the beta, but nobody mentions the sigma.
No. Listen. Most people don't understand that the alpha. You look at any organization, movement. Alphas have to prove and always fight to keep their position. Leaders are a very different breed. They're not alpha, they're not beta, they're not sigma. A good leader. Now, there are some people who might have a position of leader and not be good at it, but usually the guy who's the leader is not an alpha. People think they're the same. They're not. And so guys who are leaders understand they take a very different position, and that's who the woman is looking for. That guy is using intelligence and competence to get to where they want. And a lot of women really are looking for competence. And part of the competence, and I understand some people say, well, the onus is on the man. Yes, every damn civilization in the world has been built by men, and we're not sitting around waiting for women to do anything. But if you help women understand their place in this, and if they don't, you pass them along to someone else who will accept their bad behavior. But it's up to men to stop accepting it. So a guy who is a leader is going to say, I have the competence, I have the intelligence, and there's no way you can ever talk me out of either of those. And I have the ability to accomplish. I have accomplishments. I have the ability for even greater. But too many guys allow women to talk them out of their confidence and their intelligence. And it starts as a boy by saying, girls are smarter than you. At some point, men have to take that kind of bull by the horn and disintegrate that conversation and stop teaching it to other boys and men. Stop promoting it. Like, men are killing their own mental health by falling for something. It's no different than the movie Reggie laid out. Like, you are the, on paper, in reality, you're the one who's the champion. But you let yourself be talked out of it. And then you beat yourself. And then you look like a born loser. And you look to the woman, you look like a born loser to her.
You're saying if men accept this from women, they look like the loser to all women, right?
I'm saying if you allow a woman to talk you out of what you have naturally, you're like your divine right as a man, as a creator. We're the ones who carry life. All this stuff about the women has the miracle. This pregnancy is not a damn miracle. We understand exactly what happens. There's no miracle to it. How life continuously is created in a man is the miracle. That is the part we don't understand. Men need to start
exactly
different perspectives because they've been buying into stuff that are just not even, they're not even true. They're not accurate. They're just lies. And that onus is on men because that is the mental health that will have you look like you've given up and you're hopeless and they will not respect you because they will see you as being defeated, just like Jackie Gleason saw himself beating this man, even though he knew the man could beat him, but he caused the man to defeat himself and be a natural-born loser.
Now we'll meet him.
I'm going to agree with you. And as far as the onus part, men don't have any problem with accepting the onus and all the responsibility. But the problem comes is when, you know, you're under my – when I'm accepting all this onus and responsibility and you're under my authority, but now you want to lead. It doesn't work that way, you know?
Which you never give her the space to do that. And there is I'm being rude. I know I'm being rude, Chris. But Joe kind of said it. If you don't like it, get the fuck out. And so, Reggie gave the answer to why that doesn't happen because it chases sex.
I ain't chasing nothing.
I understand that part, but what I'm saying is sure, if you don't like it, get the fuck out, right? But here's the thing. It's not men that is telling them that it's society that's telling them that they still have the power and society even enforcing them, you know, having this false of the power. So you getting involved with them is just dangerous. It's dangerous for you because there are too many men that are willing to jump out the window for them. So unless you're willing to become like, you know, I don't know, you know, like a Spartan and just take on like 300 other men, and just have this massive pile of dead bodies around you because you're killing every man she throws at you because that's her only real power is to entice another man to do something to you, then it's dangerous for you. That's another point I was going to make.
Do you know Sparta ruled for in supreme logic, thank you. Sparta ruled for over 800 years.
Right, and they fucked up when they gave power to women. That's
wait, Chris, let me help you. Let me bridge the gap. You made the leap without. What really defeated Sparta was that Athens, and so Sparta was a male culture, and people could not defeat them. Athens could not defeat Sparta. What Athens did. Was and so Athens was more of a feminine culture, and so the way Athens did it is they eroded Sparta over time and got them to embrace more of a feminine culture, and they just watered down Sparta until they were weak enough to crush them. And that's what's happening here.
Right. Right, and that's exactly what's happening. Right, you're absolutely right. So it's still, like I say, it's still dangerous for here's the deal. If men problem, why is it the lion's share of divorces that women ask for, 65%, are being caused by 80% of the women? 80% of the women, they file for those divorces. So the problem isn't men. The problem is just it's women. And no matter what you or I or any other man says, nothing's going to change because they have too much power inside. They have voting rights. They outnumber us. Nothing. Society knows that they're easier to manipulate out of their money. So they're going to make sure that they stay in power, so they can have those wage slaves. But
do you understand? See, this is part of mental health. Believing women have power is already.
No, I know. I don't believe. I know they don't have power. But what I know is that they have 1,000 men behind them that have power
right.
that will come after me. And unless I have 1,000 rounds to lay those fucking men down, it's best for me just to walk the fuck away.
So
here's
what happened. There, and even this whole notion of EQ, emotional intelligence, right? So they have come at men from so many different directions about why you should be more feminine. You know why? Because as men, as masculine men, there's nothing a woman could do with you except for listen, because she depends on you for everything. Her total survival depends. So it's like you're Spartans, you're men. Well, there's nothing, you're impervious. We can't move you, so what we'll do is make you more feminine. And if I get you to be more feminine, now you're in my world, and I know how to defeat you being feminine. But I can't defeat you being masculine. So
I said that before. I made that point last week. I said a woman's power.
Well, hold on. Let me just finish. The point is, even though they've been taught to do that by women, they resent you for it. And that is when they will divorce you. So many women divorced men because he was in touch with his emotional side. I got rid of his ass, found another dude who's more like a caveman, and he does his thing, you know, around the house or whatever, and I do mine, and I'm happy with. I'm much better off with the caveman than I was with being in touch with his emotions. That's, they resent you for giving up for quitting. They resent you for compromising your own manhood.
Let me ask you this, T. So if they resent you for compromising your masculine and your manhood, so why would any fashion or any group of the affluent class would disrupt the balance between masculine and the feminine roles that society had for thousands of years? Why would you disrupt it? That's the $2 million question.
No,
the lobbyists and the folk making laws disrupted this thing. Would they disrupt this?
Fluent did not do it. The average man did it.
Once I don't believe that man had that much power though, to you.
No, it has nothing to do with laws. Once you gave up your masculinity to be more feminine, the women across the board didn't care about you anymore. They had no reason to care. And they were
so
told,
who kicked out of
hey. See, you have to
this
everyday life. If you keep trying to look at the laws, you can change any law in the book. But if you as a man gave up on your own masculinity, most women will look down on you.
Until you knock the dogs not out of one of them, like Chris was talking about.
Right.
But
yeah,
by that time, I'm held to, you know what I'm saying, I'm held liable prison time on the count of me going upside one of their head. So it don't benefit you going upside their head either. You're in a lose-lose situation, Ted.
No, when you do that, she's running your life. You still lost.
No. If you revert your biological character, which men,
I got what you're saying. I got that.
No, hold on. Let me finish. She's not controlling your life. The consequences of what society has created, you're facing those consequences. That's what's controlling your life. But you, as men, we're only going to argue so much. That is it's in our biology. We draw that line. We all have that line. We're only going to argue so much before, okay, it's time to get down. Something has to happen now. Either you know, we're going to fight, or one of us got to leave this world. That's in our biology. There's nothing we can do to erase that part of the code from our DNA. That is not her controlling your life. If Reggie and I were arguing right now, we could be cool. But we're arguing. We're only going to argue so much before it's like, hey, Reggie, come on, man. Hey, it's time to step in the backyard, man. Once it's over with, we can be cool again. But that's going to happen. That's not Reggie controlling my life. That's my biology. That's
so
his biology.
Yes. Do you think most women are children?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
If an 8-year-old understands, and I think I might have been one of those 8-year-olds, I knew how to push buttons in adults. If an 8-year-old is pushing your buttons just like a woman does, and it's not your child, are you going to just beat their ass or kill them?
At one point in time, you could spank an 8-year-old that wasn't your child Let me finish. I'll answer your question. At one point in time in society, you could spank that 8-year-old because it was understood by all adults that if they saw an adult spanking an 8-year-old, then that 8-year-old did something to deserve that ass whooping.